halftime of the Don and Mike Show.
Martha Stewart is a puffed up bag of wind, cheese, hair, teeth, and corn. She's lucky that there are so many stupid housefrows out there that watch a show with a woman who obviously has never done a day of real work in the kitchen in her life. I like to put her in the kitchen, give her a pound of flour, and say, here, bitch, let me see you make some pancakes.
You know what she'd say to you?
What?
Where's the almond extract?
The Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike Show.
Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
All right, you ready for your results?
I am ready.
Very excited. I don't think you will be disappointed. Or maybe I will.
No, you will not.
Okay, all right, very good.
The website has tabulated. I'm going to give out this website address after we take these tests. I just didn't want it to be all crowded while
right,
we were online.
Exactly.
One of the rare occasions we actually are online on this show in the main studio.
Very exciting.
Celebrity matchmaker for men. Shania Twain is the one for you.
Oh, man!
And we are sure she will impress you much.
Wow.
This beauty is quite a prize. Not only does she sing like an angel and speak with a twang, but she's a complete knockout based on your answers. You desire a woman with class, ambition, and beauty who fully dedicates herself to all of her endeavors.
Yeah, baby.
She has achieved a great balance between a southern charm and independent air, and she's confident and competent. This country chick is quite a catch, and if you're lucky, you'll be the one she dreams of.
Oh, Shania, come to Papa.
Shania, all right, let me go to popular tests.
Okay, now is this the dog one?
Yeah, and then we'll both take the emotional test, because I haven't taken that one
yet. Uh-oh.
Let me see.
I think that varies based on the time of year, and I just want everybody to know I'm a mess.
What breed of dog are you?
Okay,
I got 12 questions for you
here. Now, this is quicker, right?
Yeah.
All right.
After a tough day at work, I grab a beer and watch TV, play a pickup game of b-ball, volunteer at the soup kitchen, meet friends for drinks, treat myself to a pedicure, rent a tearjerker, pound on a punching bag, go rock climbing, or complain, complain, complain.
Complain, complain, complain.
In high school, I was class clown, teacher's pet, star athlete, bully, class treasurer, head of prom committee, yearbook staff, school mascot, debate team.
Class clown.
Gotcha. Of the following.
And I mean elected. Just want to point that out. Okay, I mean, I got the yearbook to prove it.
Of the following, my favorite sport to play is...
Oh, wait a minute.
Of the following.
Okay.
Quarters, lacrosse, bowling, wrestling, cheerleading, croquet, gymnastics, baseball, track and field.
Baseball.
At a cocktail party, I would most likely be commenting on other people's attire, on the couch with a plate of food, mixing drinks for people, in the middle of a heated discussion, dressed to the nines, talking someone's ear off, surrounded by friends.
Talking someone's ear off.
Some people consider me high maintenance.
Yes or no?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. At the dinner table, I use chopsticks. I always use my best silver. Dinner table, I eat in front of the TV. Meat and potatoes. I pick at my food. I lick my plate clean. I tell lots of stories.
Chopsticks.
No.
What is it again? I'm sorry. Okay. I forgot.
Chopsticks?
Yeah, no.
Best silver?
No.
Eat in front of the TV?
No.
Meat and potatoes?
Well, yeah, technically a TV's in the kitchen. I eat at a table, but I eat in front of the TV.
Meat and potatoes, pick at my food, lick my plate clean, tell stories.
Sit in front of the TV.
My social circle is made up of a core group of close friends and many associates. A core group of close friends and not many associates. Just a few close friends. No close friends and many acquaintances. Or just me.
The first one.
Okay. Of the following, I would want to be a detective, a mountaineer, a movie actor, a mob boss, supermodel, socialite, bus driver, sports announcer, grade school teacher, event planner.
Movie actor.
Of the following, my favorite food is hot dog with sauerkraut, cheese puffs, rare steak, grilled chicken salad, cottage cheese and fruit, cheeseburger and fries, sushi, tacos,
steak.
Steak. In high school, I graduated in the top 10%, top 25%, upper half, lower half.
I would say top 25% of high school.
My outlook on life...
I'm lying! It's not true! I cannot lie!
Top half.
Okay.
I hope.
Okay. I really, really hope.
My outlook on life is most colored by Cosmo, Vogue, GQ, and Men's Health. Friends, Seinfeld, Ally McBeal. Conspiracy theories. The Protestant work ethic. ESPN. Or gossip?
The Seinfeld one, I guess.
Okay, and finally, I like to cuddle. All of the time, sometimes, rarely, never.
Sometimes.
Okay. Let me get your results.
Well, the cuddle one, probably real significant, I would think. Right?
Here you go.
Buzz's microphone's not on.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
Yes, very significant. Buzz?
Yes.
Your microphone is now on.
Thank you.
Mike?
What dog am I, Don?
And I know you'd be happy with this one just because it starts with Irish.
Oh, an Irish setter.
You are an Irish setter, Mike.
Wow. Right.
You're a fun-loving breed with a devil-may-care attitude towards life. Your refreshing outlook endears you to your close friends and acquaintances. They love having you around because of your lighthearted nature, witty jokes, and nose for fun.
Mm-hmm.
You are interested and excited about many different things. Varied interests make you a well-rounded individual, but they create a tendency towards distraction.
What?
You are one of the lucky dogs who will always be a kid at heart.
All right. Okay, I think that's all valid.
It's a good dog.
I love these tests. I just want to say, based on these two things, based on the Shania Twain, I love the test.
All right, now, Buzz, here's what I want you to do.
Okay.
Mike and I will both take the emotional age test right now.
All right.
So we can do it at the same time. I want you to log on to emode, E-M-O-D-E, .com.
Emode.com. Emode.com.
Come on, Father Time.
Oh, I can't find the buttons. Where's my computer screen?
E-M-O-D-E, .com.
Oh.
Take your time, Buzz. I've got your music ready.
It's already been entered. And it's coming up on the screen now. I've got it.
All right, now, you see where it says popular tests?
Yep.
Click on popular tests.
I spoke too soon? No, I don't see that. I see what is your emotional age. Should I click on that?
Click on that.
Okay.
All right, you got it. There's 14 questions.
Coming up on the screen.
Just one moment, please.
There it is.
Okay. Buzz?
Yes.
Let's involve you in this.
Okay.
Why don't you read the questions
to
Mike and I? I'll click in my answer, and you click in Mike's answer.
All right, very good.
So we can both actually get the results at the same time to find out
the emotional age.
What are emotional ages?
I'm scoring for Mike, and the first question is, how do you shop for yourself? I buy something only when I desperately need it. I buy things, but only within my budget. I keep up with the latest trends and gadgets. I buy whatever I want, when I want it.
I buy something only when I desperately need it. That is really my answer.
I keep up with the trends and things like
okay.
that. Next question. How would you describe your sex life? Intimate and sharing? Full of energy and playful? Intense and passionate? What sex life?
Full of energy and playful.
Same. Okay. Third question. You run into someone you haven't heard from in a long time, although you have tried many times to contact her. How do you react? I'm nice and ask how long it's been since we last saw each other. I'm very excited and give her a big hug. I ask her why she's not responded to my attempts to make contact. I ignore her completely.
I ask her why she hasn't responded.
Me too.
Okay. Fourth question. You've done a great job at work and you're given a big promotion and bonus. What do you enjoy most about it? The additional money I now have? The emotional high I feel from being recognized by my boss and coworkers, the fact that I now have a secretary and don't have to do the menial work for myself, the status that comes with the new position.
You want to go first?
No.
The money.
Got it. The emotional high.
Fifth question. When you have sex with your significant other, you like it to be a little secretive. Forbidden things are always more fun.
to have it as often and as in as many places as possible, to have it in an atmosphere of soft music, candlelight, and romance, I don't remember.
Secretive.
Okay.
As often as possible.
Mm-hmm. Sixth question. If you suddenly got a huge bonus at work, what would you do with the money? Make a few expensive purchases, like a new stereo or TV, and put the rest in savings? Buy something extravagant, like a new car? Do something practical I've always wanted to do, pay off student loans or my mortgage? Or spend it all on trendy new things and taking my friends out?
I would make a few expensive purchases and put the rest in savings.
I would do the same.
Okay. Seventh question. If someone offers you some candy, what do you do? Try a little of each kind to see what you like best. Take one to eat later. Eat a huge handful, making yourself a bit ill. Or, I don't eat candy, it's bad for my teeth.
I'll take one to eat later.
I'd eat a huge handful.
Okay. Eighth question. Someone close to you dies. What's your reaction? A lot of crying and sadness? I joke around and shut down my emotions to avoid dealing with the pain? Allow myself to be sad, but also lend support to the people around me?
Hi, this is Surf.
Oh, did he just die?
No.
I'm not close to him anyway.
He's fine.
Or take over the funeral and family arrangements as much as possible.
I would take over the, and I've done this before, mm-hmm. take over the funeral and family arrangements.
I would do the one where you offer help. But
oh,
not
okay,
but
got it.
Over.
All right, very good. Question nine. Your best friend wants to set you up on a blind date. What do you ask about this person? What does he or she do for a living? Why is this person single? What does he or she look like? And what are the two of you going to do?
What does she look like?
Ditto.
Okay. Question 10. When you pay your bills, when do you pay your bills is the question. Usually when the overdue notices come in the mail, when they first arrive in the mail, the same day every month, or I don't, my parents or partner does that for me.
I don't.
Freedom does it. Same time every month.
Okay. Question 11. When you're out at a party or club, how do you act? I would never go to a club. I party till dawn. Hang out in the corner with my friends and people watch, or have a good time, but in moderation.
I would never go to a club.
Hang out and people watch.
Question 12. Some relatives drop in unannounced and want to stay for a week. How do you deal with the situation? Make them feel as comfortable as possible and arrange some activities you can do together and suggest they do some on their own. Welcome them and make them comfortable, but encourage them to take care of themselves as much as possible so they don't disrupt your schedule. Enjoy every minute with them. You only see them once a year. Or, my place is such a mess, they wouldn't want to stay with me.
I'll do that second one. Take care of themselves so they don't disrupt my schedule.
Okay, Mike?
Well, I don't like any of the options, but I'll say the same thing.
Okay. And question 13. You're at a pool party, and someone suggests skinny dipping. How do you react? There is no way I'm taking my clothes off in front of my friends. I'll go in if other people do, but I won't go alone.
Get a boner.
I am the first one out of my clothes. Or, what's skinny dipping?
There is no way I am taking my clothes off in front of my friends.
What, I'm sorry, I was very distracted.
No way, I'll go if other people do. I'm the first one undressed, or what's skinny dipping?
I'll go if everyone else does.
Okay.
Yeah, baby.
And number 14, I believe this is the final question. A close friend tells you an important secret. How do you deal with this? I don't tell anyone unless it's going to hurt them not to know. I let it slip to a few people who won't tell anyone else. I get excited that I know something interesting and tell everyone I know, or I keep the secret to my grave.
I'm torn between I let it slip to a few people or I tell everybody.
I let it slip to a few people.
Okay. And that was the final question.
I let it slip to a few people.
Okay.
Because there's a difference between a few and everyone.
Those people are in this room.
Okay, let's get our results. Click on the Get Results box.
I've done that. Use email to discover more. Yada, yada. Some kind of ad.
Right.
What the hell is
that'll
this?
Be on the left-hand side. Just click off the box.
Okay,
that's an ad.
Thank you.
Hold on. I missed a question online. Jesus Christ.
This computer just blows.
Okay, Mike, your total score under your emotional age is 50 out of 100. And
oh, God.
I believe, let's see if I can find an analysis here. It's just right down the middle. It says there are many,
Now, that's just generic explanation.
Oh, Jesus. I'm going nuts now. My emotional age is kicking in.
I'm going to get mine now. Here we go. My emotional age is... Your total score is 52 out of 100.
Wow, very close.
More results below.
Hold on, here we go. Hold on, with a...
Right.
Healthy mix of maturity...
Oh, it's broken down into categories.
How do you
is
think?
It confusing?
Oh, Buzz, click down.
The first
click down.
Yeah.
Click all the way down.
Okay, all the way down.
Keep going, because there's a there's some kind of like a...
Subcategories.
Right.
Right.
If you got a 44 out of 100, if you got 57 out of 100.
So they say what you're... They give you the explanation if you...
Yeah.
With
okay,
the
here you go. If you have a 44, that means you're less mature.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a 57, that means you're responsible.
So you're right in between.
Right.
Hold on. Who's on the phone here?
Hello? Hello?
Hey, Dad. It's Bart.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Hey, don't you really want to go?
Hello?
Hello?
What?
Hello?
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 Hello? Grown-up voice. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, buddy. What?
I got 65 out of 100.
Oh, you did when you took that test? I'm not surprised. Well, congratulations.
You're more mature than both of us.
You are more mature than either me or Uncle Mike.
That's right. I am the least mature of the three.
Hey, what kind of dog were you, Barty?
I was a golden retriever.
Golden retriever.
That's good.
I'm the worst on that. I'm a basset hound. That basset sucks. Hound. And I'm an Irish setter.
That's weird. That's really weird that I was an Irish setter. That's unique.
All right, bud. Love you. I'll see you later.
Okay, you want to talk about that thing tonight?
Yes. We talk when I get home.
Okay.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. Okay.
A little private stuff we got going on.
Very good. Okay.
Then I think all the rest of this
is a crappy...
Just a breakdown.
The crappy part here. So it doesn't tell you... doesn't, like, give you an explanation.
You got a breakdown, Buzz? Buzz is actually reading all the crap that it said.
I just have Mike's individual scores. Your overall score, of course, Mike, was 50. They gave you a 52 as your emotional age for behavior, a 39 for your emotional age for emotions, and a 57 as your emotional age for responsibility. And then, of course, each one of those subcategories has a generic explanation that goes with it.
Okay, so 57 would be responsible, then.
Right, you're on your responsibility
and,
age.
And the 39, which was under what?
Your emotional age.
Then I'm a child.
Not really. Not
then I was just what? Just two more than you. So I'm just that much better than
well,
you.
What is your in the breakdowns? What are your because it gives you all the numbers. What is your
right,
your emotional age?
Let me go back.
Mine was 39, and I bet I'm lower than you on that one.
All right, wait a minute.
Because that's a pretty low grade.
Emo, the best coffee break. Oh,
right. Yeah, a lot of ads.
Let me get out of this.
Okay, I hate it when they do that.
All right, hold on. All right. Hate it. All right. My total score is 52 out of 100. Behavior, 55 out of 100.
Mike had 52.
Emotion, 44 out of 100.
Mike had 39.
Responsibility, 57 out of 100.
Bingo, same as Mike.
That was it.
So I'm basically much more immature.
That's not true. Shut up.
Shut up.
That is emode.com if
right.
anybody wants to
hey,
take the time
I
to do
I dig
that
it
crap.
Based on Shania.
Yeah.
Shania, come on over here and see the emotional two-year-old.
Hey, Jennifer, it's me, the Basset Hound. Come on over and pay my bills, baby.
Shania, pet your Irish setter. Your little emotionally underaged Irish setter.
Hey, Jennifer, it's me, your Basset Hound. I'm just over here licking my nuts. Come on over, baby.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And again, happy Thanksgiving from all of us here at the NFL today. Now, the IBM Power Poll. This picked by my guys here, as always. Craig, Randy, Jerry, Eric, Mann, Bob, Matina, our radio buddies, Don and Mike, everybody in on this one.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
All right, everybody, from the NFL today on CBS.
NFL TV.
Here is Jim Nance, buddy. Hey, Jim Nance.
My boys, how are you?
Now, Jim, I want to
to tell you, right up front, that we are stand-up guys, that when we lost to you picking the games about a month and a half ago, we said that we would pay the money to your charity, Three Amigos Foundation, and, $500 went to your charity.
You're here.
You guys are awesome.
I know we are.
And believe me, very much appreciated.
Okay, well, I mentioned that because I can think... Where are you calling from, Jim?
I'm actually calling from a hotel lobby. Don't ask, but it's...
Okay.
In New York, there's a little buzz in the air here, as you can imagine, on this Thanksgiving Eve, and I'm dashing from the office and trying to make sure I hit our 4:30 time, so I ducked into a hotel to call you.
All right, well, we won't keep you long.
No, no, I've got all the time in the world.
Is that the true story? You're not like at a bachelor party or something?
No.
Like that, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just let me say this.
Yes, but not tonight.
There would be no better time for you to make things square with us.
I'm willing to step up to the plate. You know that. I've already told you that.
Listen, I'm not talking about money. Since Mike and I have already proven that we're men of our word and we paid $500 to your charity, there would be no better time for you to wish us happy holidays on your show than tomorrow.
Now, that's a tough one.
When you have only one show that's going to the entire country.
That's correct.
Why would it be so tough to say, and I want to say happy Thanksgiving to my friends Don and Mike? Why, Jim, you're the anchor.
You know, guys, I'll tell you what.
You're the power broker, Jim.
Yeah.
You know, you're the man. You're the main man. You're firmly...
I almost had you in, worked into halftime of one of our Sunday games just 3 days ago.
But listen,
I still might be able to squeeze it into the Thanksgiving weekend, but tomorrow's going to be tough.
Jim, tomorrow. Tomorrow, National Spotlight, baby.
I'll tell you what we'll do tomorrow. Give me a word. That'll be my signal. All right, we'll just to tie you over for right now.
Okay,
I'll work it in.
All right, the word is douche.
No. Well, that's easy. Philadelphia this weekend with his running back, Douche Staley.
Hey, Douche Staley, yeah, he can pretend it was just a slip of the tongue.
No, Jim, really.
I need a little bit more of an honorable and regal word than that.
I know you do.
And this is a family show tomorrow.
I know it is.
Jim, I got to be honest with you. We could tell you, we could say a word, but, we would have no guarantee that there would be a word. You know, our listeners have been so disappointed.
We don't want the Carol Burnett tug on the ear, man.
But this is the thing, you know, all those folks out there listening right now, they would feel that connection even more tomorrow when they're sitting by the fireplace, their feet are propped up, and I use the word fulfilling or...
Jim, it would take you...
Or voracious or, you know, something out there. And I'm going to say, geez, he did it.
Jim,
he said it. He told Don and Mike he would use the word
on
the ear.
Jim, it would take you exactly 3 seconds to say, and happy Thanksgiving, Don and Mike. Now, what is it you're worried about, that when you come off the air, your producer's going to yell at you?
Well, you know, then I've got people asking me, well, wait a minute. You know, then I've got my mother saying, why didn't you wish me a happy Thanksgiving?
No, and you say to those people...
You know, we're part of the same family, Jim. We should put that out.
Yeah.
You say to those people, these are guys who are good enough to put me on their national radio show the time. They're good enough to promote the NFL Today. They were good enough to pay out of their own money $500 to my personal charity. That's why I said hello to
you. And you know, we're fresh off our appearance on the fabulous CBS sitcom King of Queens, where those people, you know, real friends of ours, actually brought us out to Los Angeles and put us on there.
And all we're saying tomorrow is, I don't care if it's in your pregame.
Hey, when is that King of Queens going to air?
It's already
last
aired.
Monday.
Last Monday.
All I ask
it's,
is...
It's the last Monday of the season?
No, it aired this past Monday.
Why didn't you tell me? I mean, I could have been promoting the show on the air and mention a special guest appearance, Don and Mike.
It's very easy to look backwards and say what you could have done, Jim.
Now, Jim, listen. Here's the setup. Tomorrow, I don't care if it's at the pregame or at halftime or as you're leading into the Shania Twain concert.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, at some point, Jim, you got to make a fist, and you got to say, I want to say happy Thanksgiving to Don and Mike. I don't care. If you got to make up a story, say there were two little boys with some kind of incurable disease or something. You know what I mean? Two little sick boys.
Yeah.
We are sick boys in a lot of regards.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. But, Jim, really, I don't know why we can't get...
You went for the... You certainly knew how to pick your spot, did you? I mean, you went for the biggest audience of the whole season.
Of course.
Now, Jim, we've asked you, though, repeatedly, when you've had smaller audiences.
Jim, I know you have a huge audience, but I should point out
out that there are 5 million of our closest friends.
Well,
that would be more than willing to, you know, to take a look. And maybe if they weren't even inclined to you know, watch the show, they might be wanting to eat their turkey. They might rearrange their schedules to watch
hear
you.
It.
Yes, that's right.
Just to hear it.
So, Jim, let me hear you now. Promise.
No, guys. It's a little out of my hands. Not totally.
No, Jim.
I'm not saying it's impossible.
Jim, are you telling me that you are a ventriloquist dummy?
That I'm just a programmed robot here? Not exactly, but, you know, I don't know how much we're going to be out there throwing out Thanksgiving hellos to people. But
you're not going
to
be doing it at all. You're going
to
be.
If there's any kind of Thanksgiving greeting out there to anybody by name, it'll be to you guys.
Jim, you're going
to
be starting the show by saying Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. You're going to have the set with the turkeys and with the fall foliage.
Yeah, you know, fall harvest in front of me.
Yes, I know. You're going to say Happy Thanksgiving.
And you expect me, like, right out of the box to say Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, especially you guys, Don and Mike.
Certainly not. Whenever.
And here are the rest of the guys.
You know, as you go to commercial,
and coming up, and you know, the commercial, you got to kind of tell everybody what's coming up next. It's called the team.
Jim,
you do that
Jim,
very efficiently.
Okay. Jim, listen. When you sit there in kibitz with Jerry Glanville and with Toothy and with the other guy.
And Jerry Glanville, you know, been on this show many, many times.
Yeah.
And, you know, a guy that would certainly recognize our names.
I don't see how tough it would be. Just
as a matter of fact, last week, I do want to reemphasize, I came very close to mentioning you guys at halftime one of the games, and I mentioned it out loud, and Jerry acknowledged it.
So of course.
John and Mike, I said, I'm going to try to get him into this halftime.
You know what? I appreciate Jerry. I appreciate Jerry because he's a stand-up guy, Jim.
Yeah,
he is. A stand-up guy.
He's a stand-up guy. He's a guy.
I understand the insinuation there. I understand that.
Hey, listen.
I'll make a deal with you. It may not be tomorrow. So, you know, let's see. Today, we're in the last weekend of November.
No,
coming up.
Gotta be. Yeah. It's tomorrow.
Now and Christmas.
Tomorrow.
Day, and
no.
Including Christmas Day.
No.
Between the Thanksgiving show and the Christmas show.
No. So we've
and
been
everything in between.
No. We've been disappointed too many times.
You can take it to the bank, and if it does not happen, I will turn around I will make a donation to your favorite charity for double the amount.
No, listen.
To the three amigos.
Jim, no need to. Listen, you can't do it.
We understand.
You can't do it.
We completely understand.
There are guys in our business who are can-do guys, and there are guys who are...
Is this reverse psychology on me here, fellas?
No, this is not reverse psychology.
I didn't rule it out, you know.
What we're telling you is we understand.
I didn't rule it out.
I've worked with guys like you before, Jim.
What's that?
I've worked with guys like you before.
Yeah. I'm a stand-up guy.
And I'll say this.
I was the guy who proposed originally that we go ahead and put something on the line for these picks.
And frankly, usually guys, you know, guys who don't have a spine, they don't rise to the level that you do. So you must have something else going for you. But I'm telling you.
Don't shame me into this. Now, that won't work. Now, I'm going to give it my all. You're very much on my mind.
We understand. We completely understand.
Very much on my mind.
Exactly.
Now, I just hope that you're going to be watching when I do drop this bomb on you.
Jim, if you drop that bomb, you will receive treatment like you've never received before.
That is true. We love to honor our friendships.
And we're very loyal.
Here's the problem.
We like loyal.
The game show tomorrow. Let me tell you, my halftime show tomorrow has been almost completely cut out because of a Clint Black concert at Texas Stadium, which they're presenting down there.
Jerry Jones,
as though it's a Super Bowl game. So we basically removed from the mix.
You have a 30-minute pregame. Do you guys have the early game or the late game?
We have the late game.
Okay, now listen. Let's be honest then. Let's just cut right to it. You have the late game. If the early game is decent, most likely people are not going to be watching you anyway.
Yeah, you're a little covered up.
So what is the problem since you have the late game and since most people will be watching the game?
And you know, Jim, if I could offer a suggestion here about the convenient time to throw it in there, be when you're saying your goodbyes. You know, hey, thanks a lot. Thanks and happy Thanksgiving to all my friends, including Donovan.
You know, I got to tell you guys, I think you deserve better than that.
I think that's
exactly
what...
I think you deserve better placement than that.
We deserve better placement than on Thanksgiving Day?
No, better than just some, like, throwaway line at the end of the pregame show.
Perfectly adequate. That's perfectly satisfactory.
You'd be satisfied with that.
Totally.
More than satisfied.
We would be more. It would be the tribute to Jim Nance show when we came back on Monday.
A full what?
A full 5 minutes or so.
You know, whatever you want, man. I'm serious. You want to come on? You want to talk about your charity? Do it. You want to come on? You want us to promote your show?
Because we will be buddies.
Yeah, you guys have got me really stoked for this.
And let me tell you something. That will be a tape that we will take off of your television program, and we will play that again and again and again every single day, not just on Monday. We will play that all the time. Like, for example, we recently had Don Knotts on
the
show.
Hold on. Let me play him a tape. Give me the tape of Leo on Craig Kilborn.
Okay, very good. Yeah,
let me show you how this is done. Are you familiar with Craig Kilborn? Are you familiar with Craig Kilborn?
Very much so.
Okay. Leah Remini from King of Queens.
She's a doll.
Right. She was on his show, and she mentioned our names like 100 times.
Let me hear it.
Okay, here you go.
Oh, we're back, and stop! Balls of fire for Leah Remini, everybody!
Balls of fire?
A ball of fire.
A ball of fire. Well, here are the rules.
Not balls of fire.
I understand you're playing for somebody today, a couple DJs. Who are you playing for?
Don and Mike.
You see how easy that was for her?
See, and it's gone.
Wow.
And then later, she's talking to him about something else, and she throws our names in again.
That's impressive.
This guy.
And you parlayed that right into an appearance on the show.
What?
I like it.
All right.
I like it.
Listen to this.
But he said something bad about Kevin's appearance on something.
Uh-huh.
And so I had my friends Don and Mike call him live on the radio.
Right.
On the radio.
There you go.
She mentioned us all the time on Craig Kilborn.
Yes.
That's impressive.
Yeah,
it is. I think
it is. It is indeed, and we play that tape constantly. And
let me ask you guys, though. Now, how did you parlay that moment into getting a guest shot on the King of Queens?
Okay, Leah Remini and Kevin James, they realize the promotional value of this show.
And we interviewed them, and we developed a relationship with them, and that relationship eventually got into us coming out to Los Angeles and to, you know, do a little guest shot on their show.
And frankly, if Leah Remini can call us from backstage at the David Letterman show, and if she can mention our names on Craig Kilborn, and if Kevin James can have us out to actually be on his show, then why can't the great Jim Nance
just to throw away tomorrow?
You present a pretty convincing argument, I have to say.
And I want to say happy Thanksgiving to my friends Don and Mike. That's it. No one's going to question you. You're not going to get fired.
I'm not worried about that.
Well, you know something?
I just want to make sure I present you guys in the greatest light possible.
Of course.
I don't want to just slough it off.
You know, I think the way we are portrayed would certainly be, in our minds, most beautifully done by saying goodbye and, you know, just, hey. Happy Thanksgiving to my friends Don and Mike.
Yeah. That's all.
You know, you're not going to get that chance because our goodbye is we hand it off to Reba McEntire.
Oh.
And she does the anthem and then we're not back.
Well, then how about before you throw it to Reba McEntire? At some point, you're going to say goodbye.
Do I have to say goodbye?
All right, Jimmy, listen. This is it. This is just it.
Our friendship hinges on this, doesn't it? I can feel it.
Yes, it does. And you don't know how serious I am.
A friendship which probably at this stage of the game is looking forward to saying goodbye to.
I have been called a terrorist by some of my closest friends, and I will tell you, this is the final demand. Jim Nance, tomorrow, either pregame, halftime, postgame. Happy Thanksgiving, Don and Mike, or else never call again. Never call again.
It has been laid down.
Oh, dear.
That's it. And I like you, Jimmy.
You know, there's an awful lot to lay on me here before Thanksgiving.
It is.
You're a pro. Kind of warm and fuzzy at this point.
You're a pro. You can handle it.
You know this is a tough business, Jim. You understand that.
I've got to add one offering here, and that is you got to throw Sunday into the loop, too.
Nope.
Got to.
Nope. It's tomorrow or nothing.
Because we know if it's Sunday.
I can't guarantee tomorrow.
Okay,
it's
then,
a limited show.
Tomorrow is guaranteed to no one, as I believe William Shakespeare or something said.
Yeah.
Or how about this? How about, hey, Don and Michael, talk to you Monday. You don't have to say Happy Thanksgiving to us. Just say,
Yeah, and in fact, I think that we can agree that the names are more important than the Thanksgiving greeting.
Yeah, the greeting really, let's face it, has nothing to do with it.
Yes.
So, you know, whether you say Happy Thanksgiving or you say, hey, I want to say Don and Michael talk to
you. I mean,
you
guys, what you're saying is you really don't care if I wish you a Happy Thanksgiving.
You know,
you're
going to
have a Happy Thanksgiving regardless of whether or not I extend those wishes
exactly.
or not.
And, or if you mention, you know, hey, Washington, D.C., Don and Mike country, or, you know, out there, Don, you know, anything, you know, with our names in there, you know, that's it. Any way you feel free.
And that's it.
Yeah, the Thanksgiving greeting, perhaps.
Are you guys working tomorrow?
No, of course not, but we will be parked in front of the television
watching CBS and watching you.
Well, that's awfully encouraging.
So, Jim, that's it.
That's it. That's what we came on here for.
Of course. This could be our final conversation ever with you.
Well, that's very sad.
I know it is sad. It would sadden us first.
I still feel like I have a one-day guest host appearance coming my way.
Absolutely.
You do.
And I certainly hope that happens.
If you acknowledge us tomorrow on your Thanksgiving broadcast.
It would be wonderful. In fact, you know, to be honest with you, the way, as difficult as it has been communicating with you during this segment, I will tell you that we will have tears in our eyes if this comes to fruition.
Yes. So will I.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Jim, just let me leave you with these parting words.
Yes. We're not even going to pick the games.
No, it's not necessary. We've taken up too much of your time already.
No. No need to pick the games. Tomorrow, our final demand that you acknowledge us on your show tomorrow.
Some sort of verification of our existence.
Otherwise...
C'est la vie.
That's it.
That's right.
That's it.
And, you know, we'll agree to disagree.
That's it. Hold, please. One of my representatives will be on the line with you a moment.
And have a happy Thanksgiving. There
yeah.
he goes.
Yeah, there he goes.
All right.
Okay.
Enough of that.
Charlie, pick up and talk to him. Please. Tell him we're serious.
There is nothing quite
what
like...
What a pussy wow. he is. Do you believe that?
Nothing quite like us browbeating the host of a network television football show. Just on and on and on and on.
This is the fourth time we've done it.
He's, right. he's promised repeatedly yeah. and never delivered.
I know.
Yeah, screw him.
Yeah, that's fine.
This is the Don and Mike.
I'm glad you enjoyed them, sir, but no, I'm afraid they are not real radio personalities.
Shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
Let's get to Homo Joe, Rob Spiewak, in New York.
Nueva York.
Christ, they taped everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought we'd get a little bit of them on the way up there and a little bit of them at the Sopranos party.
Well, they're very diligent that way. You know, Homo Joe loves the tape.
Well, and you know this about gays. Damn, they're organized. They are. I had told Homo Joe he is like a walking day planner.
Was Homo Joe your organizer, Rob? Did he do all the logging and
you
stuff?
You know, he did.
Logging.
He coordinated stuff. I tried my best to stick to the schedule, but, you know, there was too much drinking, and there was just not enough time to get to things on time.
I asked Rob a minute ago, as we were talking about the plane ride, and then Rob was raving about the Delta shuttle
was great.
He said, Delta shuttle, you get free drinks. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. It's just like, you know, flying on an international flight. They give you free drinks. I said, well, it's a short flight. He said, yeah. And Rob said, 38 minutes in the air. I said, well, how many drinks did you have? He said, 2.5.
That's right.
Hey.
Yeah. Homo Joe.
Homo Joe here, Don.
There he is, my buddy. Not a Mike, Homo Joe here. Homo Joe, before we start to hear the tape, how would you rate the weekend in New York with Rob?
Oh, it was excellent. I'll have to thank you guys and Tammy for that wonderful weekend in HBO. It was the best time I've ever had in my life.
Oh, wow. Wow, the best time you've ever had in your life?
Yes, it was.
Even the best buttocks you've ever seen?
I would say that, yes.
Wow. You mean meeting the stars as the Sopranos was better than anal sex with some young Denny Terrio that you've picked up at your game?
Well, one of the bartenders tried to pick me up at the cast party.
Yeah, really?
It's not like you weren't trying every time you saw some good-looking guy.
Well,
you were out of control.
I was a little out of control, a little inebriated. You know how that goes, you know.
All right, Joe, I'm going to leave you on hold in case you have any questions.
But the Bada Bing girls were awesome. They said they wanted to come sit at our table, so they should have, because that guy was really an ass.
What guy was an ass?
Polly Walnut.
Polly Walnut.
Yeah, he was
ass?
Really nasty.
Yeah, and Polly
Walnut.
I'm not sure I noticed it, but Joe says Polly Walnut was wearing a lot of makeup.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Makeup.
Well, Polly Walnut is the one guy on the cast of The Sopranos who actually was a mobster.
Yeah, he's from the neighborhood too.
Yeah, you should have seen him. He the way he was dressed made his character on The Sopranos look conservative. He had a dark blue pinstripe suit and a silk button-down black shirt with no tie. Looks pretty classy.
Very mafia.
All right, thank you. Hold on there.
Okay,
Jason.
We'll do.
Hold on. Let's start on Friday night. This is this past Friday evening. Rob and Homo Joe on the plane leaving D.C. going to New York. Let's roll that, please.
Oh, I've learned so much already. Hello, Don and Mike. It's Rob Spiewak here on board a Delta 727 along with Homo Joe. Hello, Joe.
Homo Joe here, Don and Mike.
And we've had a couple of cocktails. We're getting ready to fly up to New York. We're in a New York state of mind. And I think we're going to get up there. We're going to check into our classy hotel and perhaps do a little clubbing tonight. Isn't that in the offing?
I think that would be a great idea.
And I don't know what kind of clubs we're going to go to. And I think you're in store for a...
How bummed are you right now, Rob?
You're bummed already.
Yeah.
You sound a little silly.
Yeah.
We had two or three beers for dinner before we got on the flight.
Oh, all right. So you're already bummed.
Yeah, we maintained pretty well the whole night. It was a fun trip.
Were you drunk at the Sopranos party?
No. I was still feeling...
Liar.
I was still feeling...
Liar!
No. At the pre-party, I wasn't. I started drinking after the premiere.
Right. Work, Mike. That's a work ethic.
That's right. I wanted to make sure we got some of it done. Well, I needed some liquid courage to make sure I got the tape we needed to make it happen.
All right. Let's get back to Rob and Joe drunk on the plane. That was established by Rob is drunk.
Hey, did you know that Joe has a farm? Homo Joe, he had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. But we'll get to that, I'm sure, a lot later.
You're
so dumb. To shut the tape off because, you know, it's an electronic device, and we want to make sure we don't make the plane crash. So when we get up in the air, we'll get back to you and let you know what's exactly going on in our big Homo Joe Rob Spiewak weekend in New York. Anything else, Joe?
I think we'll paint a wonderful picture of this weekend, Ross. I think it's Dynamite.
So it's been a lovely...
Like two schoolgirls.
They really are.
You're getting along way too well.
Right.
Did he touch you?
No, never did.
Never touched you, huh?
Well, you know the size of those airline seats, so you might as well just sit in each other's laps.
We're going to make our initial descent into New York's LaGuardia Airport, then I think we'll cab it to our hotel and figure out what we're going to proceed to from there.
I think that'd be a great idea, except for don't let the beer drop off the table again, Rob, okay?
Hold it. Wasn't
stop to say, the beer dropped off. Was there an accident?
There was.
Rob, I'll lick that off your pants.
No, it spilled onto Joe, and Joe was very, very cordial about it.
Clean me, Rob.
I made a mistake.
You sucked the stain out.
There was a rough descent in the LaGuardia. It was a windy night.
All right.
So it was bad flying on behalf of the pilot.
Okay, I thought it was you. I'm sorry.
Certainly not my fault. We're just leaving LaGuardia Airport, and we're about to get into our New York City cab.
New York City.
That's the sound of the trunk opening.
Here.
As we ditch our luggage. And the trunk shut.
Homo Joe bring...
145 West 44th Street.
Did Homo Joe bring lots of luggage?
You know he did.
Because he's so gay?
I think he brought two large bags and a smaller bag. He did. He apologized. Wow. He said he overpacked.
Two large bags and a smaller bag for 24 hours?
Oh yeah.
God.
Well,
he's gay.
Didn't know what the weather would be. So.
Yeah, he'd have all his outfits.
Sure.
Hot fans.
What's your name? We're doing a radio show today. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Okay, can you say hi to Don and Mike? Or are you too busy driving crazily?
Was this some towel head you got driving your car?
Yeah, and that's a safety message from designer Nicole Miller. I found out that every time you get in a cab, there's a recorded message.
From a different celebrity.
That's right, yeah. Right.
So many dumb things in New York, aren't
there? There's a safety greeting from Nicole Miller. All right, folks, it appears we're closing in on our hotel at 145 West 44th Street. It's the Millennium Broadway Hotel, and Joe, how would you describe our cab ride?
It's a lot of blowing going on.
You're hurrying. It's
a lot of blowing what?
I have no idea what that meant.
A lot of blowing going, does it mean it's windy?
Yeah, I think there's that, and also the cab
really?
Driver
what?
Wasn't
very sure that's what he was talking about?
Pretty sure.
You guys... There wasn't blowing going on in the cab.
There was a period where the tape recorder was turned off,
like immediately after they left the airport, and then you have a totally different timbre to your voice, and you're saying,
there's a lot of blowing going on, Rob.
West 44th Street.
There's a lot of blowing going on.
I can understand why you would assume that, but it was a very scary cab ride. He was a terrible driver.
And not very talkative, I guess.
No, we get a little bit more out of him.
All right.
Scary.
This is amazing. This is a Ford-built cab, and apparently it has no gas.
Sounds like you might have something in your throat, Rob.
You think?
No way.
sounds that way to me.
All right, he goes live.
Oh. A break, just an on-off switch. And we've gone anywhere from dead stop to full tilt, 65 miles an hour. Here we are taking our life in our hands in the Fabled Theater District. Good Lord.
You're like two old queers on this trip.
Hey, hey,
swear to God you are.
I'm fairly young.
I'll tell you, though,
two queens going out.
It's working for me, man.
It is.
I swear to God, it's making me laugh.
The Fabled Theater.
We might have to send these two off on a few other missions.
We are now in Times Square.
To our right. To our right, we can see the big...
The aunties.
Seriously, when you drive through
it's
here,
like
it's
watching
almost
Greater
like,
Tuna, isn't it?
Greater
Tuna.
Like watching two fat ladies.
Watching the mommies.
Sorry, Rob.
See, I got almost go.
Here we are in Times Square.
Yes, we are, Rob.
The mommies.
Where do I put our purses?
A lot of blowing going on tonight.
Then Rob,
strangulated.
So many electric signs and whatnot. There's the NBC Jumbotron that CBS blocks out of all of their broadcasts.
I can't understand why, Rob.
Oh, you two are just enjoying each other's company too much.
This is your phone line again, reminding you to get a receipt from your driver. And
please
get your shopping bag.
Shopping bag?
The only thing we did shopping is I don't know. I think the beer garden.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Have a good day. Would you once again say hi to Don and Mike?
What?
Would you say hi to Don and Mike?
Hi to Don and Mike. And what's your name and how long have you been driving your cab?
I'm driving cab in 17 years in the city.
Wow.
And my name is Laka Chaudhary.
I've been driving for 17 years.
Would you like a spoon straw with that?
Thank you, pal.
Okay, pal.
Can you open the trunk?
That's right.
17 years, Joe, and it shows.
He's just crying my face.
Good God. I am surprised we got out of that with our life. Sorry I'm late, Joe.
That's right. You're never late. Better late than never.
Now, what are you late for, Robbie?
We arranged to meet, I think, in the hotel lobby at 11:30 to go out.
So this tape wasn't recorded in the shower?
No.
In the steam room.
No, we each got into our separate hotel rooms.
Picture Rob with a big towel wrapped around us. Sorry I'm late,
Joe. But that's okay, Rob.
And so now we're getting ready to venture out. It was like 10 degrees and windy. It was as cold as I've ever felt anything.
Okay. Yeah. About the karaoke bars at this point.
Oh, are there any in the neighborhood?
None at all.
None at all.
They all like in the 20s. You know what I mean, Western bars. If you want to stay in the area, there's not much different.
Is that Rick McClure?
Let's go across the street and have a beer. And
it's really not here.
Okay. This is Terrence, right? Terrence, will you say hi to Don and Mike? We're covering this trip for a radio show.
Definitely. Hi, my name is Terrence. Welcome to the premiere.
And they're not even here. Can you imagine how great the service is if you're actually here?
I know. The room was awesome. It's like I opened up the room. It's like I felt like I was in fairyland.
I feel like you're in fairyland every day. I don't think that's something weird.
Welcome to fairyland.
Right. What does it say? Pick up the tempo a bit, Robbie.
It'll pick up when we get outside because it's so cold.
Okay.
We landed at...
Go figure. I have a ferry.
Thank you, Terrence. We're now walking up what I believe is 45th Street and heading towards the Times Square area to see what action we can find. Joe, is it right to say we're looking for action?
I would say we're looking for action, but I see lots of trash in New York City. It's a dirty city, Dynamite.
No, Giuliani's cleaned it up.
But look at all these dumpsters. Look at all these boxes. I'm sure there's a few homeless people in these containers.
Is that somebody beeping at you, too? Because you're walking in the middle of the street, isn't that right?
Shirtless. We're walking in the middle of the... No, it's the sounds of hustle and bustle in the city.
Of a 24-hour city,
it's
Mike.
Amazing.
Hustle and bustle as the two aunties make their way out into the town.
Homeless people. We are in Times Square right now in the thick of everything. As I look ahead of me is that very famous crawl that does the news headlines
even as we go. But let's tell you what's going on right now. David Letterman undergoes quintuple bypass heart surgery. That's from the Associated Press. Now, we know that's not true.
That's true. Buzz made that so on the show today.
Now, I want to know, does Buzz just phone up to New York City and has the big crawl go across on the big neon sign?
Give me something better than this.
All right.
This is like listening to two queers walk around. No offense, Joe.
I tell you, though, the muggers, when you guys popped out of that hotel, it must have been like a steak dinner.
No offense, Joe.
Oh, no problem.
No offense. Jesus, like, this is too gay for me. It's not that gay. It's just boring right now, you guys.
Well, we'll pick it up. There's some good pieces in there, I'll tell you.
All right. What about where it says, we scream? Is that a good segment?
That's probably as drunk as we got. What number is that?
That is 1117. I'd like to hear that. You guys are very drunk.
We scream.
We scream. All right, hold on, Joe.
Okay.
Hold on, please.
Is it a...
Oh,
well, no, I believe
we are still in the theater district, and we've walked by Dame Edna's Theater, and we've seen also Tom Wopat in Annie Get Your Gun. And it was just, I think we were quite taken with
so
the moment.
So you're in the theater. I mean, Joe's got to be just having
just
a great time.
Delighted.
And right now you're really bombed.
Yeah, pretty drunk.
Okay,
pretty
here
drunk.
We go.
Look, she has her leg popped up in the air. Does that give you any view of what kind of show that might be?
I can't believe I can actually say this. Dame Edna's name up in lights.
Oh, a triumph at all. New York, Dame Edna.
It's time to scream, here we are, New York! Come and get us!
Hello, Joe. Hello, Joe here.
Oh.
My gaydar found the Irish pub.
Well, let's quick go say hi to the statue of George M. Cohan.
Okay. Where are you, George?
There he is!
Still on
hi,
Bravo.
Hi, George.
Yeah. It's good seeing you. We're freezing our ass off here right in New York City.
What does George M. Cohan, what does your gaydar say, what does your gaydar say about George M. Cohan?
He has a big member. The New York City Police Department was looking at us like, you're absolutely crazy, which we're not.
It's no wonder.
It's on to my show. Here.
It's no wonder Joe loves the theater community with George M. Cohan's big member. My God, did I just say that?
I think so, but you know, they all wear these dancing dogs. You never get to see nothing. It's all
stuff.
Oh, boy. Okay, I'm feeling a little uncomfortable now. Weird for the city that never sleeps. Langens is closed.
City that never sleeps.
Let me hear that part again.
City that never sleeps.
Langens is closed. This bar is open.
But you never get to see nothing. It's all stuffed.
Okay, I'm feeling a little uncomfortable now. It's rather weird for the city that never sleeps. Langens is closed.
Sleeps. Even back when you said you're feeling uncomfortable, you sound goopy drunk.
Not. It's no wonder.
It's the thought of my show. Here.
It's no wonder Joe loves the theater community with George M. Cohan's big member. My God, did I just say that?
I think so, but you know, they all wear these dancing dogs. You never get to see nothing. It's all stuffed.
Okay, I'm feeling a little uncomfortable now. It's rather weird for the city that never sleeps. Langens is closed.
Or they've seen Homo Joe coming.
Let's listen to Rob Slurs.
I don't know. Is there some sort of codicil in the Dublin Code?
I think so. They don't like gays. Remember that parade in New York? They would not let the gays march.
Well, we're going to march right into the pig and whistle. This is what I really was hoping for.
This is the bar you guys go to, the pig and whistle?
Yeah, we stayed there till about 3:30. It was a great bar. Mike, you would have loved
the
it.
The pig and whistle.
Pig and whistle. It's a great Irish bar.
Right? All right.
On, I think, 45th, maybe.
All right, hold on. Let's stop right there. Pause your tape for a moment, Robbie. We'll pick it up with a pig and whistle.
This is the Don and Mike.
My Lord, you are a strapping young woman.
Ladies and gentlemen at home, the club is full of ballers and their pockets full of gold.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
My Lord, you are...
All right, let's get back to Rob with Homo Joe. In New York, we're not even close to the Sopranos party yet, all right? Here's Rob and Homo Joe. They've gone to this bar called Pig and Whistle. They've met a bartender, and now they're going to meet a drunk guy.
Yeah, his name is Hilaire, and he had a lot of trouble with the jukebox. Joe and I noticed him earlier arguing with his friend Ray, it turns out the guy's name is. Who was at fault for World War II?
What time would this have been?
This is probably about 2 on Friday or Saturday morning, as it were.
2 a.m.
And so when I saw this guy having trouble with the jukebox, I thought it might be a good time to have a talk with him.
Robin Homojo in New York.
Throw in the pig and whistle. This is Rob Spiewak. Sir, what's your name?
All right, this is the old John.
Okay, what's your name, sir?
My first name is Hilaire.
Hilaire, we're covering this whole event for the Don and Mike radio show out of Washington, D.C., and you're having some trouble with...
My daughter's living in Washington.
Really? What's her name?
Alexine.
Say hi to Alexine, because I'm sure she listens to the Don and Mike show.
Boy, I love you, sweetheart. How are you?
And we're trying to figure out the jukebox. It's one of these goddamn CD jukeboxes, which is wrong on every level. We're trying to figure it out.
All right, that's your cue that Rob is drunk.
Yeah, that's right.
That Rob is dropping the GD bomb.
Absolutely. Rob's drunk.
Goddamn CD jukebox is wrong on every level.
Oh, Robbie. What Elton John song did you play, sir?
I got to go back.
He forgot already. He forgot in the 8 seconds that he was over at the jukebox.
Yellow Brick Road.
Oh, that's excellent. It's goodbye, Yellow Brick Road.
What did I say?
Good night.
Did he say goodbye, Yellow Brick Road? Okay.
Now, this is the gentleman.
Does he hear? Oh, it's just a beautiful song.
This is the gentleman who was arguing about World War II before. What did you determine about World War II?
Well, I wanted him to get me the non-filter cigarettes, and he came back with filter cigarettes. And you know, and that's like, that is World War II.
Now, you didn't serve in the war.
You're right.
How is filter and non-filter cigarettes being equated to World War II?
Your guess is as good as mine.
So they were having an argument about the cigarettes that he brought back.
What I heard was that Mussolini was in charge. And so when I asked him about it, he had told me something about non-filtered cigarettes.
He's just rambling. He's the painful rambling of a drunk.
Yes. Poor Heller. Are you a veteran of any sort?
Well, I was in the National Guard in...
Like Dan Quayle.
I don't know what Dan Quayle did, but I was...
Can you spell potatoes?
Yeah, well, we're getting back to my military record, and I was in the Pennsylvania National Guard, and...
I think that speaks highly of you, because Philadelphia to this day is not under Nazi control.
Nazi control. I just read the obituary. I read... what did I read about the Nazi? I read about something. Oh, right. That Mohammed Al-Fayed accused Prince Philip today of being a Nazi sympathizer. And, you know, and Mohammed Al-Fayed.
Welcome to the latest episode of Drunk on Drunk with your host, Rob Spiewak. Jesus H. Christ.
Man, this is 2 in the morning. You can tell this bar is happening.
He's very annoyed. Oh, and he also accused him of planning with British intelligence the murder of Diana and his good son, Dodi.
It's amazing, because the last time I heard of Mohammed Al-Fayed is when he was defeated by Joe Frazier at Madison Square Garden.
This is definitely a radio show.
Thanks, Rob. Now he equates you with radio because you're such a bad comedian.
This is definitely a radio
show. Oh, man. I love the reaction times. Really, I'm getting queasy. I'll tell you right now.
Mohammed Al-Fayed, his father, Mohammed Al-Fayed is the owner of Harrods.
That's right. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
And Harrods is...
Rob is still trying to do a Muhammad Ali joke.
He's still on the Muhammad Ali rift, is this guy. And you know how you can tell when it's late? The guy's just plowing right ahead.
Was the big story. So Prince Philip got really pissed off and removed his approval of Harrods, and so they have to remove the sign with the big crest of the royal family.
Right.
And now Harrods is screwed because they don't have that, and Al-Fayed keeps getting denied his citizenship every year by the Queen.
I feel like I'm at Thanksgiving dinner.
It's like a soap opera. I mean, it's really entertaining.
So what's your song going to be? Like Bruce Springsteen?
Well, I like Springsteen, but I really want to find the Stones. I grew up on the Stones.
Of course you do. What's your favorite Rolling Stones song?
Is this guy a little hippie-like? Is this guy just a little hippie-like? Like, yeah, maybe a ponytail or anything?
Who's the celebrity he resembles? You got to tell us what this guy looks like, Rob.
He looked really stockbrokery. I'd say his age maybe about 45 to 50, mm-hmm. which would put him right in about in the right age to regress back to that.
Right.
But he looked really clean cut.
What was he wearing?
He had his coat, he had his jacket off, he's wearing suit pants and a tie and a button-down shirt.
Oh, so he's a businessman.
He works at Smith Barney.
I'm sure he'll appreciate that, Rob.
There's a nice free plug for them.
Money is safe.
With our best wishes. Well, Mr. Smith and Mr. Barney feel good about that.
Yeah, really.
I've got so many favorites, but one of my favorite, I guess, is Start Me Up. And then I love Honky Tonk Women.
Honky Tonk Women is probably my favorite song of all time.
Yeah, well, that is really one of the best. I mean, you know, the mood.
Rob? When do you tongue kiss this guy?
Where's Joe? I'm just letting him go.
Joe's rubbing off on Rob. Yeah. You know, little did I think that you're one time away from Homo Joe and you'd be hitting on a guy.
That's me.
Dude, there's so many moves on that show.
Do you think the Stones have suffered with the departure of Bill Wyman?
Negative.
You know who my favorite Rolling Stone is?
Who?
Charlie Watts.
Charlie Watts is fabulous. I mean, the piano, he keeps his cool. I mean, he's just awesome.
Jesus Christ.
He's the drummer, isn't he?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
No. Oh.
Did you just tell him that?
Yeah.
Okay, back it up. I guess we missed it. Rob tells him he's the drummer.
Okay.
Charlie Watts?
Charlie Watts is fabulous. I mean, the piano, he keeps his cool. I mean, he's just awesome.
He's a drummer, sir.
I know he is.
No.
Yes.
No. Keith Richards and Mick played guitars.
Right.
And Woods plays guitars.
Yeah. Rhythm guitars.
Yeah. And Charlie Watts either he does the drummer, but he also does piano when he has to.
I suppose that's so.
Yeah.
But really,
Charlie Watts has been there for so long, and he's just awesome. And he talks about leaving every so often, which very upsets.
Shut up.
Yeah.
This is great.
Understood. But what we really need to find is another song for you.
Well, I'm looking at the
Rob,
Beatles.
When you're saying this to him, is your arm around him?
You know, it could be. I'm still feeling the effects, but I feel that I'm sober enough that I know that this is funny. It's not like we're going back and forth
right.
with each other.
And
but
he said he was gorgeous, right?
Yes, he was dreaming, Mike.
All right, I'm going to give this guy 30 more seconds. Then we're going to move on.
Just the Beatles. I was living in North Africa when the Beatles were functioning, and so the only one I know were the Stones, and I'm looking at Paperback Writer, and maybe... No. Paperback Writer's the best one on that number.
You know what's strong is the song Girl and Eleanor Rigby. Oh, you can't beat Eleanor Rigby.
Don't even know either of them. See, because as I told you, I missed them. But The Sultans of Swing by Dire Straits is what we're going to do.
All right, Robbie. I've had enough of Hilaire the Drunk. let's go right to Real 2. Or do I need to hear his buddy Ray?
It's just more of the same.
No, forget it, Doc.
I want to hear his buddy Ray.
Oh, all right.
I want to hear like 5 seconds of his buddy
2148,
Ray.
2148, Rob.
Just to hear what Ray sounds like.
212148.
This is my buddy Ray.
We have all of this time cued.
We're a war two.
Okay, ready? Here we go.
Man, they're wonderful people, and I love them. And now, it's no longer Guinness. They're now owned by Grand Matt.
What do you do for a living, sir?
I work for Solomon Smith Barney.
Well, let's take you back to your...
Here's another nice... Feel secure of your investments because Hilaire's in charge of your account. No problem.
And I want to meet your buddy over here.
Okay.
Are you Ray?
I'm Ray.
Hi, Ray. I'm Rob from the Don and Mike Show, and I'd like to ask you a couple questions, if that's okay.
Go right ahead.
Can you move over so I can have a seat? Be okay with you if Homo Joe came over?
Who?
Homo Joe.
Wow.
Is that okay?
Who might he be?
Yeah. Joe! Ray is much older.
Here he comes. How old is Ray?
I would put Ray at 60 to 65.
Okay. And not very homo friendly?
No, he seemed to be a bit more
Homophobic?
A bit more high strung.
Okay, gotcha. Right.
But equally as drunk.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Hilaire is really going to drink unfiltered smoke unfiltered cigarettes. Hilaire, can you move over so Joe can have a seat? Just for a second. We won't be here long.
Get a drink. We know where your brain is.
Joe, this is Hilaire and Ray.
Nice to meet you. Ray, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Okay.
Are you aware that Hilaire has been drinking?
Not at all.
Yeah, I have not. Have you been drinking?
I just started recently.
You've got it down pat. What is your favorite band?
Band?
Or musical artist?
What kind of...
I've heard enough of Ray.
Ray's a little damn uptight.
Heard enough of Ray. Rob?
Yes?
I know you've still got all day Saturday in New York,
right,
when you guys went to the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
Well, let's save that for tomorrow. Cut right to the Sopranos part.
You got it.
Let's go right to the Sopranos.
And then we can get, at a later time, we can get Rob and Homo Joe holding hands at the Empire State Building.
Yeah, because I guess on tomorrow's show we'll hear that. And also, for some reason, Rob got this guy Hilaire's phone number, and Rob wants to call him.
You might be nice to give him a holler.
That'd be terrific.
Oh, is his home number?
I believe that's him at work. That might be him at Solomon Smith Barney.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
All right, early in the show tomorrow, we'll call him. Okay, when we come back, we'll cut through the rest of Rob's drunk night. We will wait till tomorrow to hear Rob at the Empire State Building.
Yeah, all right.
But we will take you right to the Sopranos premiere party.
Absolutely.
With Rob and the stars from the Sopranos. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my ass.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
Well, let's get back to Robbie in New York. Tomorrow, Rob, we'll come back and listen to all the gay things you and Homo Joe did, like going to Central Park, taking a carriage ride.
You did take a carriage ride.
With the carriage had heart-shaped windows. We didn't choose it. You get assigned it on the
bill. Going to Trump Tower, going to the Empire State Building, the Carnegie Deli.
You sure packed a lot of weekend in.
Yes, we did. We made it count.
That's good.
Do you have any candy?
No, actually.
Have any fudge?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
If you're going to pack a lot of fun into a weekend, it ought to involve fudge.
Because then you'd be fudge packing.
Although I had some delightful balls in the matzo ball soup at the Carnegie Deli.
Oh, yeah, we're getting right to the good stuff now. Rob and Homo Joe at HBO for this very exclusive premiere of The Sopranos on Saturday night.
We're arriving at the big HBO. It's almost like a skyscraper on the Avenue of the Americas. And we are greeted with an interesting factoid. And I think you'll hear that on the tape.
Here's Rob and Homo Joe Saturday night in New York at HBO.
Well, here's the interesting turn of events. We're in the HBO building now for the premiere of The Sopranos. It's 5 o'clock, and they think we're Don and Mike. And they said, we don't have a Rob Spiewak. What's your air name?
Oh,
I said, well, I'm Don Geronimo, and this is my friend Mike O'Mara. And they said,
we'll do the voices.
Well, I guess you're here, so go up and have a good time. So we are Don and Mike. Don and Mike for a night. Pretty cool.
Oh, great.
Ooh, I got the lesser of that.
I sense trouble.
I think. I can't wait until we start getting the news reports about all the crazy stuff Mike O'Mara did on Saturday night.
Okay. Oh, Jesus.
Well, Joe, we just saw the screening of the premiere of The Sopranos. We're in the bus provided by HBO. We're going to go to a exclusive party at a place called Market. What did you think of the episode?
I think it was excellent. Absolutely great.
What was your favorite part?
I think the part when Tony crashed his car.
I'm not sure you'd like the part where Tony was in his boxer shorts.
Well, that I do, but you know that's so much better for you.
He is dreamy. He is dreamy. I think it's just great to have all the characters back because it was fun to see them again. Also, a lot of the people from the show were actually at the screening. Meadow, AJ, Anthony Jr., Stevie Van Zandt. Who else was there? Am I missing anybody?
I think you got pretty much all of them.
Don't you say the mom was there? Was Carm there? Carm?
This is actually, Carm came to the party. This is actually at the screening in the little theater.
And at this theater, there was only 100 people in this theater.
Seating for 104. It was almost like, well, because it's, you know, on a video presentation, it was almost like a big screen TV. It was not even like a real movie theater. It was almost just like a big TV room.
People clapping stuff when it was over.
Yeah, good laugh, good everything. I mean, it was a good crowd. It was great. A lot of fun.
Well,
The others, conspicuous in their absence, I'm told, are going to be at the party. So we look forward to seeing them, and I especially want to get Anthony Jr. to tell me about the problem when there's no ZD. I'm definitely excited about that.
I love ZD. Especially when it's baked.
So, Jay, see you at the party.
I love ZD.
When it's baked.
When it's baked.
Right, one last, Don and Mike, one last addition. I forgot about the best celebrity that was there. J.J. Jackson from MTV. Yeah, Joe thought he was very sexy.
He had a wonderful voice, very sexy voice.
It was almost like having a Visa commercial being read behind us in the theater.
Exactly, and his date, she was very oriental. She ran into me. It was less than best running into a celebrity that I ever had.
Well, we're back to the aunties, aren't we? As you two, like... Did you two have your little coffee clash on the bus?
Who ran into Joe? With some Chinese J. girl?
J.J. Jackson's girlfriend.
J.J. Yeah. Jackson's girlfriend. She, really, she was Asian?
Yes. Okay. Very pretty.
Gotcha. Okay.
However, you're at the boat at all.
Joe's great brush with greatness.
Rob and Joe wearing house coats. Big floppy slippers.
Here they come.
Joe's brush with greatness is bumping into J.J. Jackson's date. I tell you what, Joe, hitch your wagon to a star.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
I didn't even hear what that was.
Don and Mike, this is a secret recording session because they're not allowed to have a tape recorder in here, but we're at the Sopranos party, and I'm here with A.J. Anthony Jr. What's your real name? I apologize.
Robert Eiler.
And he has a... Robert has a message for you, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, you know, I heard you were having a party, and you're trying to get me to go, but I'm not going to go if there's no f***ing ZD. You know, it's just not going to happen. And after this recording, my friend better get a raise or something good. Thank you very much.
Let me hear that again. I like that. Roll that back.
That is funny.
So you got to say the F and ZD.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
That's funny. That is fantastic.
We need the unedited version for the Vegas style show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Don and Mike, you know, I heard you were having a party, and you're trying to get me to go, but I'm not going to go if there's no f***ing ZD. You know, it's just not going to happen. And after this recording, my friend better get a raise or something good. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Congratulations on continued success.
Thank you very much.
The show is great.
Thanks.
I'm here with Meadows Soprano, and before she.
I love that you don't know their names. You're just calling them their fake names.
Meadows Soprano.
It was more polite than what she really should have been called, which is one tremendous piece, because she looks so good.
She looked real good?
Yeah, she made Alyssa Milano like she might want to take a lesson or two.
Really? Don and Mike, I'm here with Meadows Soprano.
And I think, I'm not sure because I have been drinking at this point again. Shocker.
Oh, God, again.
I think she just says, hi, Don and Mike, it's Meadow. I don't think she even identifies herself by name, but okay. She says, hi. I want to tell, stay ahead after your freshman year in college because it's easier. It's easier to get ahead than it is to catch up. But here's a message for Don and Mike from Meadow.
Hey, Don and Mike, this is Meadow. I hope everything's well. Best wishes and keep watching the show.
And I'm sorry, I need to ask, what is your real name? Because I don't know.
My name is Jamie.
Well, you're beautiful, Jamie.
Thanks.
And we really love the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm here with Meadow Soprano.
You're beautiful, Jamie.
You're so drunk, Rob.
You're beautiful, Jamie.
You're so beautiful.
I want to marry you.
It's easy to stay ahead. You're a freshman.
Giving her advice.
I'm here with Meadow Soprano.
She's probably 30.
Awesome.
Who's next? A mom?
I think so.
All right, mom Soprano's
there. 3, 2, 1. Don and Mike, this is a pleasure to be in the company of Emmy Award-winning Edie Falco. Or
well, at least you know her name.
Yeah. Well, she won an Emmy.
May I call you Carm?
Oh, please do.
And Carm would like to say hi to Don and Mike at Washington, D.C.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike, down in Washington, D.C. How are you? We're in the cold Big Apple.
What can we expect this year on The Sopranos?
More of The Sopranos.
At least 13 more, right?
At least about 13 more. That's all I can give you.
Well, we really hope the marriage works out with you and Tony. I mean, he's a handful.
You gotta love him.
No one ever looks quite so good dealing with someone who's about to have a mental breakdown as you. You're very pretty, and you're very put upon, and I think America loves you.
Oh, I couldn't be happier about it. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, and we'll be sure to watch every Sunday night.
Good. Thank you.
Would it be a safe assumption that she bordered on Kurt? She was a tad curt with
They
you.
Were all uncomfortable because they were all told they wouldn't have to do any media there. So
oh, really?
All the stuff,
okay.
Yeah.
And Rob knew, of course, that if he came back without a tape of any Sopranos,
yeah.
he would be fired. So you made the correct choice, Rob.
There would be trouble. So, I mean, they did the best they could. I thought that Robert Eiler,
the little kid,
was really cool. He came up with that entirely on his own.
Oh, that's terrific.
He was just awesome. So he's that's a very nice guy.
And, of course, Meadow Soprano.
Hello, Meadow.
I'm with Meadow Soprano.
He's beautiful.
Who's, did he get anybody else?
Sure. They were working me downstairs.
The Bada Bing Girls.
Joe, I think the Bada Bing Girls.
You're so wonderful. We should have New Year's list. So much fun. I'm like, I said, but I'm gay.
We just left.
And we're not giving you any money.
We just left the post party at the Sopranos party. Joe says he almost scored with a Bada Bing Girl. Joe, what all happened with the Bada Bing Girls?
Well, she told me she thought I was very special. And she liked me because I was lots of fun. And she should have sat with me. I said, well, I was trisexual. So there you go.
And what about the bananas?
The bananas from Steve, the bartender. He wanted me to sit on them tonight. But unfortunately, I said, I'm not a bottom. Bada Bing, Bada Boom.
This is such a horrifying weekend. I don't know what the hell is going on.
Who are the girls
laughing?
There's
actually a girl and a guy from a Philadelphia radio station who actually I was able to strike up a conversation with because we each knew Jim McClure.
Okay.
From Philadelphia.
Who doesn't, Rob?
Or who doesn't want to. But Joe was, at this point in the evening, pretty well looped, and he was telling bartenders in the restaurant that they were gay. He said, I've got my gaydar going, and he was telling them, and he was enjoying himself, and apparently one of the bartenders called him later on.
Did you get Paulie Walnuts on tape?
No, he would not talk to me. I talked to him, but he would not talk on tape.
So. Too bad.
Jackson, to be the godfather of my firstborn, but he hugged me. I mean, what are you going to do?
I think he's gay.
No, stop it.
So, let me get this straight. Joe is the one that's a little loose here.
No. Yeah. I've already admitted to it. I've already admitted it.
I'm here with Meadow Soprano. You are gorgeous. Your freshman year, stay ahead. Stay ahead. Thank you, Meadow.
You're so put upon. Can I call you Carm?
I'm here with Edie Falco.
I'm here with AJ.
Anthony Jr.
There you go.
John and Mike, I'm here with Meadow Soprano.
He's so pretty. He's so beautiful.
Quit it. We're on our way to, what's it called? The Roxy? Or
Roxy, which is a drag bar here, a very well-renowned bar in the lovely New York City.
And why is it called the Big Apple?
I have never got an idea.
Oh, no. Rob, why didn't
you edit that out, Rob?
I didn't slip by.
And editing oversight.
Oh. Rob said to Joe, why do they call it the Big Apple? And Joe said,
I have no effing idea.
I have no effing idea. Oh, and we just heard it clear as day.
Okay, man.
Yes, you know what we will hear?
Oh, wow.
We will hear the rest of this. Rob in the cab, Rob in the
sand,
Rob in the carriage ride,
right?
Rob and Joe going to the Empire State Building.
You are gorgeous.
Where the Como Joe wants some kind of a special gay discount. We'll hear that on tomorrow's episode. Joe?
Yes, sir.
Joseph?
Yes, sir.
I have no effing idea. Como Joseph, we will talk to you tomorrow. We got to get to news now.
Rob didn't tell you where we picked the seats. We sat right between the stars.
Oh, really?
Oh, at the show? Who'd you sit between?
Everybody. There was like the cast of the, on the left-hand side, the supporting cast, and then on the right-hand side was the major players, and we grabbed the table right in the middle.
Wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
I told you, Homos are very detailed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had the best seats in the house.
Well, fantastic
guys,
witnesses.
It was great. I'm so glad you enjoyed it.
If you're ever involved in an automobile accident, you really need to have a homo involved, because they remember every detail.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Photographic memories they have.
Thank you for that description of your location in the, you know, at the party. You were the meat in the sandwich.
There you go.
All right, Joseph, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, have a good one.
All right, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Oh, no epic idea. Not a bike. I'm here with Beto Soprano. You're gorgeous.
Stand in school. Were you giving her advice
stay ahead if you're a freshman.
As though she was really in school, even though she's in college on the show.
Yeah, I guess the way the drunken mind works, who knows, it's a mysterious beast, but I thought, Brad, since she was identifying herself, oh, I called her Meadow, then she identified herself as Meadow, and I said, well, let's do some play acting, because Meadow's going to college and school in the show. So.
Right, I'm like, I remember that, Emmy award-winning actress. Edie Falco.
No one is more beautiful or more put upon.
Can I call you Carm?
You handle it with such grace and such aplomb.
This is the Dawn and Mike.
Millions of high blood pressure sufferers in China are using Z-Strong, and it's now available in the United States.
Like corn, enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Dawn and Mike.
Well, listen, tonight the show on TV is this stupid Fox show, Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire?
Right. It has nothing to do with the Regis show.
Right, this is just a huge blind date,
mm-hmm.
and they have a disc jockey, an awful disc jockey named Jay Thomas, who is the host of this thing.
Right. The guy you used to hang around with.
A little bit.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. Turn to our regularly scheduled program momentarily. Please stay tuned.
Tonight, the show on TV is this stupid Fox show, Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire?
Right. Yes, it has nothing to do with the Regis show.
Right, this is just a huge blind date,
mm-hmm.
and they have a disc jockey, an awful disc jockey named Jay Thomas, who is the host of this thing.
Right. The guy you used to hang around with a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Right. When I worked at 99X, mm-hmm. long time ago in New York City, he was the morning man.
You know, you told me one funny story about him that you should tell again about the one thing he did when he used to go to the department store, when he worked at a department
listen,
store?
When I worked at 99X, and this is now over 20 years ago, mm-hmm. I was 18 years old, and at the time, Jay Thomas was the morning guy,
right.
and I was the nighttime guy, and he had these aspirations of being an actor.
Mm-hmm.
So he took acting classes, and one of the things that they told him to do was get a job at Macy's, where he was supposed to interact with people, because he wasn't really interacting with people on the radio. He had to meet people and interact with them.
Simple actor's trick.
So what we would do, the disc jockeys, myself, Big Ron, Bill Garcia, Susie Wadd, that was the lady disc jockey, on Saturday, we would go down to Macy's and we would just watch Jay Thomas selling stuff. And after a while, after that, we got bored just watching him sell stuff. He would do stuff to amuse us.
Right.
So one day in particular, he was selling gloves, leather gloves. They had a stand set up right outside the big main entrance to the store. And we would be standing there acting like we're looking at these gloves, and he'd be selling them to someone. And as he sold the gloves to the woman, he would say, as she gave him the money, he would say, F you very much.
And he'd say it in such a way where you almost couldn't tell unless you were really paying attention.
And
right?
He said it to every person that bought a pair of gloves. He would say,
so sell the gloves and go, F you very much.
F you very much. And one out of five people would say to him, excuse me? And he'd say, I said, thank you very much. And we would die. We would die because as the day went on, he would become more and more bold with us.
Yeah.
Where it's sort of like, F you very much. Then it would finally be, F you very much. And people, because they're not sure what they heard,
right.
A lot of times they just go, you're welcome.
And they just move on. Yeah, they got their gloves.
Right.
They're happy. And of course, the funniest part had to be the one in ten
who said something.
Hear him and then...
And then this is where he was getting his acting. Because
you say, I said, thank you very much.
Excuse me?
Incredulous, of course.
Excuse me? Meanwhile, me and Big Ron and Susie Wadd, we are absolutely busting a gut watching this guy do it.
It's too funny.
We used to spend 3 and 4 hours on Saturday watching Jay Thomas sell stuff. But he's an awful disc jockey. And he's on this show tonight on Fox, Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire?
Right.
And the reason I bring this up is that we received a call today from a name from our past who was not Fox's millionaire, but was asked to be the multimillionaire who offered himself up on this show tonight.
Really?
Have any idea who he might be, Mike?
Is it the guy Paul Baldwin?
Paul Walton.
Paul Walton.
With
Paul
the pictures.
Walton. Paul Walton.
This guy, Paul Walton. First off, Haven't we always seriously wondered about his sexuality to begin with? Isn't he kind of...
I wondered about everything about him. I wondered about his sexuality. I wondered if he really does have that money, or does he just, like, crash Hollywood parties and have pictures taken with famous people?
This guy's whole claim to fame is that he came on our show originally... Something to do with Oprah. I think he had
it was another millionaire type show.
You know what? He was on the Oprah show as a millionaire who couldn't find a date.
Yeah, right. He's always done this. I don't think he's a millionaire.
And Oprah had all these girls send him letters, and he came in here one day with a bag full of letters to the Oprah show.
And his pictures of celebrities.
And all he wanted to do was show us pictures of himself with Demi Moore and Bruce Willis. And here
all of the exact, you know, one of those guys when he's got the exact same facial expression for every picture that's been taken. There's no variety in it. It's always like, can you take my picture?
Yeah. Hi, it's me. It's me with Michael Douglas.
Paul Walton.
So we had him on the show a couple of times. I got kind of bored with him. And then we saw him down in Miami one time.
Yes.
Where he caught us off guard.
He's a gypsy. He's difficult to keep tabs on. I think he floats all around the country. Did we ever determine what it was that he did for a living?
No. No, we did not. And today will be the day we find out, because he called us today.
Right.
He called today. He actually left a message on Robbie's voicemail. And Robbie, what was his message?
That he was asked to be the millionaire. And he said no, because I've always thought I should marry out of love and not out of exposure.
Oh, God. Oh,
and
man.
Then he further said that you told him the next time anything interesting happened to him, you'd love to hear from him. So he was calling.
So let's call Paul Walton now.
Okay. Self-promotion machine here.
Johnny, this guy is...
Did we meet him at somewhere, too? Or
we met him at the Super Bowl down in Miami.
That's it.
Remember, we didn't know him from a hole in the ground.
Hi, how you doing? Hey, nice to see you. Let me show you this picture of Richard Dreyfuss.
That really is annoying.
He also showed up at your Planet Hollywood Halloween show.
Yes. Freakin' Resort and Spa. This is Aaron. How can I help you?
Hello, Aaron. We're looking for Paul Walton, please. This is the Don and Mike radio show. We're on the air.
Oh, okay. Hold on. The Don and Mike, you said?
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much.
We return to the line.
The Don and Mike, Michael Q. Anthony.
And we're waiting.
Paul Walton. This guy is annoying with a capital A. And I think what we should do is exactly what we just talked about. Quiz him about his money.
Find out what, you know, how much he's got.
Good.
I think he's very open to talking about it, but for some reason we were never really clear.
And frankly, this guy's never met a microphone or a camera he's not been in love with. I can't imagine that Fox would call him and ask him to be the millionaire and he would turn them down.
You know, he's probably a little longer in the tooth, you know, since the last time we talked to him.
He's not the handsome man when we saw him 5 years ago.
Had the, you know,
Paul. Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike calling.
Oh, my gosh, Don and Mike. I haven't heard from you guys in years.
Yes, we were just discussing that, Paul.
It's been a long time.
It's been too long. And yeah. I'm here. I'm working again. Can you believe it?
You're working again? Why, did you run out of money?
Well, you might say that just temporarily. I went from cash-rich, property-poor, now to property-rich, but a little cash-poor.
So, Paul, oh, you know you're on the air, right, Paul?
No. Am I on the air line?
Yes, you're on the air.
I mean, President Clinton could be listening?
Paul, listen. Fox called you and asked you to be the millionaire for this Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire show?
Yeah, not only did they call me, they asked me to come up to their studio. I couldn't come up right away, and they said, when can you come up? I said, only on a Sunday, because I'm working, owning Castle Creek Inn here. This is 24-7. So they said, fine, we'll open up special for you on Sunday. Came up, talked to them. They said, we saw you on the cover of New York Magazine. We read the article. We want you to be the millionaire guy.
And why didn't you do it then?
I said I needed to think about it. I came back here for a couple of days and said, you know, I can't get married for TV or radio ratings. I'm going to get married for love, so I'm still holding out for the right one.
So you still don't have a significant other?
I still don't have a significant other. Can you believe it?
If we were to call Fox, they would tell us that they offered you the job first?
Yeah, of course.
Would you have a name at Fox that we could drop just to verify?
Yeah, but yes, I do.
Okay, could I have that name, or would you rather give that off the air?
I think I'll give that off the air. I don't want everyone to
call. All right, Robbie, hold on, please, Paul. Hold on.
Sure.
Let's call his bluff here.
Sure.
Frankly, I don't know if I believe him or not.
We'll find out. Mm-hmm. He was a little put off by that, but let's find. And let's also find out where he made his millions.
You know, the guy's always had a very thin layer of BS covering him.
Yeah, we just like to get to the bottom of this.
Okay.
Find out what's going on.
He's giving Robbie all. He's not just giving Rob a name now.
Right.
Of course.
He's giving the whole. Okay. You got it, Robbie?
I got to get the number. He doesn't know the number.
Okay, get the number. And meanwhile, we're getting the number.
Yes.
Verify that. Let's go back online now with Paul Walton.
Paul Walton. Hey, Paul?
Yes.
How did you make your millions to start with? We were talking about you before we made the call, and we forgot to ask you about that the last time. How did you make your fortune?
Well, I made it from Sprint. I got involved in the inception of Sprint when it first came out, and I set up little booths all across the country, hired about 400 reps, and signed up people for residential long-distance telephone service. In fact, we got a lot of people right there in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I remember now. Don't you remember you used to hand out those phone cards? Now it's all coming back to me.
Yes, now I'm remembering how he made his millions.
Remember those little kiosks, those little booths at, like, on M Street, L, and...
Yeah.
16th, and I remember all those corners, and we did very well on street corners.
You ran through all that money?
Well, it's not that I ran through all the money. It's just I had invested it in Castle Creek Inn. I was a mortgage holder, a second mortgage holder, and I was living on the interest traveling around the world. And then when the owners...
Playboy.
Hold on, Paul. Yes, Robbie?
That business does not exist in that town, Paul.
It's called... hold on. I'm going to put you on hold. One moment.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold, too. Thanks. Hold on.
Okay. Right. Rob loved doing that. That business... That woman is not your aunt.
You. Who are you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I bet, who knows? He might be on the level with this.
I think, now that I remember, no, he is. I remember that he did have the money. That's because that made us angry, because he really did have the money. He did it with that phone stuff. But
I'd like to verify that he was offered the shot to be the millionaire on
Fox. I'm with you 1,000% on that one.
Because that I don't know about. This could be a roundabout way to get whatever pyramid scam he's working on now to get that some pub.
We'll find out.
Because don't you remember how annoying he was with those phone cards? He was like, hey, listen, give these to your friends. And every time they make a phone call, you make a cent off the phone call, and I make a quarter of a cent off the phone call. And if you give this card to 25 friends, and they give it to 25 friends, why, we'll all be millionaires.
I'm Paul Walton.
I'm Paul Walton.
Now we're still trying to find... Robbie, getting the runaround a little bit?
Still on hold.
Oh, still on hold.
Oh. Still on hold for Mr. Paul Walton. Just want to find out what's going on. We'd like to get to the bottom of things with the I-Team.
Well, always struck me as kind of asexual. Not so much hetero, not so much homo. Just kind of asexual.
Hey.
Hey.
All right, hold on. Rob's getting more information now.
And is he giving you a number?
Yeah. Rob is now speaking to him, trying to get the contact at Fox. Do you have an office at
Fox? He's still talking to him.
You know, you would think if the guy was offered the gig...
He'd know the person there.
You'd have a name or a number right there.
There's nothing by that name what you gave me in Santa Monica or the surrounding area.
Nothing by that name that you gave me.
Rob can be a somewhat of a ball buster.
Sure he can.
Well, since you don't have your card handy, I'll just call Fox and see if they know this guy. What's his first name?
Okay. Welcome to the Inquisition, everybody.
Let me give him a holler. Hold on a second. Donna might want to speak to him, sure.
You got a name? I'll just call Fox.
That's the name right there.
Okay, gotcha. Can you give me the number at Fox? I'm going to look it up right now.
All right, very good.
We'll just find out if they have a guy who even has that name at Fox.
That's good.
I would think try the California number.
Ah, okay, beautiful.
Very good. I'll call Fox. Very good. 21.
In Rob's phone book, he has the Fox number.
We reached the main number for the Los Angeles offices of Fox, News Corp, and other News Corp companies. If you already know the 5-digit extension number of the person you're calling, enter it now. Or to call by spelling the last name, press 1 and the pound sign. Otherwise, remain on the line for directory assistance.
We'll just stay on the
line.
Thank you. Because there's a chance to talk to those nice Fox operators.
Rob has the number of Fox Broadcasting.
Mm-hmm. Just you may wish to note that calls to our Fox office...
Just below it, Joe Frazier.
For purposes...
And just above it... The 1-800-FIST-ME line.
Don't spell out that name, because apparently that guy doesn't work there. He's contracted to Fox. So just ask whoever's in production if they've heard of this guy.
Yes, hello, Fox. This is the Don and Mike radio show. We're on the radio right now. We're trying to verify a guy who's on our phone right now who says he was the original millionaire that you guys asked to be on your Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire show. Can you tell us if anybody at Fox Entertainment has ever heard of a man named...
Oh, hold on. Let me get someone for that, okay? Let me get someone who can help you.
Yes.
One moment.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. When's the last... last time we called the 1-800-FISTMELINE.
Okay, let me get one of the secretaries for Michael Darnell, okay?
That's beautiful. Thank you. Wonderful.
One time. 2 years?
Thank you. Pardon me?
Like 2 years, maybe.
Oh, fist me. Rob keeps that for his own private reference, right?
I'm going to have to write that one down.
I think it's still on business.
We'll find out.
Rob would know. Rob, is it still in business?
Yeah, because I kept it in business.
What is it, Britney?
Who's that other teenage star? Not Christina Aguilera and not Britney Spears. And not the one who has the slow song. There's a fourth one, though.
Oh, no.
Who's equally hot. Who looks like she's 25
blonde,
in reality.
Platinum blonde?
She's about 14. No, that's Christina Aguilera.
No. I'm sorry. There's another person out there that's another platinum blonde. That's not Britney Spears. Well, she's not a platinum blonde.
It's not Jessica Simpson.
Okay. There was a duet that I saw the other night. I forgot. I don't know how hot these people
were. That could be the girl I'm thinking of.
She was singing a duet, and there were a bunch of people standing around.
She has a song called Candy or something. I know her name. Her name is Mandy Moore.
Mandy Moore, that's what I saw.
Mandy Moore. She's the new one.
Looks more like Christina.
You're right in during lunchtime.
Oh, listen, here, all we need is, we got this guy on the phone who's a millionaire, he thinks.
Yeah.
And he says that you guys at Fox asked him to be the millionaire who gets married on TV tonight. So we said to him, really, they asked you first. We wanted to verify that. Can you tell us if anybody in your office has ever heard of a guy named Michael Fleiss?
There's 5,000 people here, so I have to get you someone who can answer that for you, okay? Because I don't have that answer, sir.
She does not have it.
Could I hear the Britney Spears again?
Yeah.
What the hell is this?
This is beautiful, beautiful, totally, totally beautiful.
So this is Mandy Moore. She's maybe 15.
She looks more like Christina Aguilera than she does Britney Spears.
Yeah,
right?
And Christina Aguilera, who I think is 18, looks the most womanly of all of the girl teen stars.
Yes.
Jessica Simpson looks just like Britney Spears.
It's like everything. No original ideas. They're cloning these women.
That's fine with me, though.
They are.
They put them on there in the skimpy outfit.
Right.
And looks to me like all these 15-year-old girls have breast implants. And they all do the same stupid dance moves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Basically, the dance moves they do are the same that Janet Jackson did.
So was I seeing this person you're talking about that was doing like a duet with some guy?
Was it during the NBA All-Star game?
I was actually watching it on MTV.
Could be.
Yeah.
I think it was Mandy Moore.
Yeah.
She's cute.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You may experience gas with oily discharge, increased bowel movements, an urgent need to have them, and an inability to control them, particularly after meals containing more fat than recommended.
This is the story of the
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
Robbie, would you pick this up? Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear us? Hi.
Is this a new person we're talking to?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, hi. Don and Mike Show.
Hi, we're doing a national radio show right now.
Am I on the air?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to hang up. I'm sorry.
Why?
Hold on one sec.
Put me on hold to hang up on me?
It's a new policy. Rob, you better get on the line here and find out what's going on.
Pick up, Rob.
Let him down easy. Paul Walton still on the air?
Yes, Paul.
Yeah, no, I'm here.
Okay, Paul, we're just checking your credentials. You understand that, right, Paul?
Oh, I don't mind at all. Remember, I was the guy that was on the Oprah Winfrey show.
Yes, we remember that.
I was on the Maury Povich show.
That's right. Okay, well, that was a long time ago.
But this is a show I turned down because I just didn't feel that it was right to just get married to someone I never met before.
Technically, are you a millionaire right now?
Well, yeah. It's in property, not in the bank. But
what was the deal that Fox offered you to be the millionaire who gets married?
Well, the deal was that I would be the guy walking down the aisle tonight, and I'd have 10 minutes to select the girl of my dreams and get married on the air.
They'd only give you 10 minutes?
I think it's at the final selection, yeah.
Wow.
And what was in it for you or for this guy who ended up doing this?
Well, see, that's a good question. Everyone says, like, what would they pay you? What's in it for you? And I never even asked the question because I just didn't feel that at the time it was right for me just to find a total stranger and get married just for ratings.
Well, if it was Fox, rest assured it wasn't going to be a windfall.
Did they for sure, though, tell you that you were the guy? Did they offer you the job?
Basically, I'm not going to say that yes. If I had said yes, I definitely would have been the one. But they waited for me because I actually had to go on a trip for about 8 days, and they waited till I got back and could come in, and they talked with me, and they said, we think you'd be an appropriate guy for this show.
So what is going on now in the life of Paul Walton?
Well, it sucks right now.
It sucks?
It sucks big time.
I will tell you that if my memory serves me, you were a little more energetic the last time.
How can it suck? You just turned down a chance to be Fox's millionaire.
That's why it sucks. I'm now thinking I should have done it.
Of course you did. It's not like you to turn something like that down.
I've never turned anything down. I always look at it as an opportunity, but at the time, out of principle, I just said, I've got to hold on for the right
show. Will they be doing this again?
I don't know. There's a possibility they might be. And if they do, I might be the one to say yes, because I'll tell you one thing. Owning Castle Creek Inn here in San Diego sucks.
What is Castle Creek Inn?
Why does it suck owning this Castle Creek Inn?
Well, first of all, no one knows where it's at.
Is that like a bed and breakfast?
It's like a 30-room big bed and breakfast on an 18-hole golf course right next to the Golden Door that Oprah Winfrey goes to.
Give me this problem any day of the week.
Yeah.
Give me this rich man's problem any day of the week that he owns a castle.
Well, you've heard of a money pit.
So there are a lot of problems with running this thing?
Oh, of course.
You're trying to sell the place?
It's trying to sell the place. That's all I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. I want out. I want to go traveling. I was retired for 10 years. I loved my life. Any major event, the fall of the Berlin Wall, the Earth Summit, I was there, and I liked it. Even the inauguration of Clinton, both times, I was there.
Why don't you just sell this to one of your rich, phony showbiz friends?
Well, it's easier said than done.
Paul, you sound like you're so depressed.
I am depressed right now. I mean, literally.
Is that why you weren't thinking clearly and you turned down the people at Fox?
You know what? I think that's right. If they offered me that today, I probably would say sure.
Listen, why don't you cheer yourself up? Go fill up a bathtub full of $20 bills and just take a bath in money. Do you have enough money to do that?
I think I could I could rent out enough rooms to do that.
How is the occupancy at the Cats in the Cradle Inn or wherever you are right now?
That's the problem. It's not been the best. It was a foreclosure, and so I've had to build up the business.
Oh, my.
And it's really tough. It's not my forte. I'm a telecommunications guy. I was a high school teacher. I used my math skills to business that I'd never had any business education.
Well, what about all your showbiz friends like Oprah and all those people you have pictures of? Won't they help you?
Well, I really haven't put out the word to them saying help. Maybe now that they hear me on the Don and Mike show, they will help. I don't know.
Are you dead? If you're a million, if your net worth is still very high, you really don't need help.
Are you destitute?
Well,
are you downtrodden?
Well, put it this way. It's if someone dies and leaves a huge estate and you don't have the money to pay the taxes on the estate, are you necessarily poor or are you rich?
So you're saying that your net worth is based on what you assess the value of the property at, but you really don't have any cash.
Exactly. Kind of tapped
out. So you're poor. Yeah.
This is a hard luck story.
You're a pauper.
Well, when I sell this property...
This is great.
Oh, no.
I love it when the mighty fall.
I'm sure you do.
I do. Christ, I'm probably richer than you now. happy day.
Probably the gardener is richer than me,
Oh, dear. Well, you did take that 10 years off, Paul. That might have done it.
Well, then how could you... If you are virtually living in a cardboard box, how could you have been offered this job by Fox to be their millionaire? Because isn't part of the requirement that the guy be a millionaire?
Well, okay.
Is that why you didn't get the job?
I think it's real simple math. I owe $1.5 million. I've got enough money to sustain this. It's listed for 5.9. If I sell it for anywhere in the fives and you subtract 1.5, what do you have left?
But now are you getting any bites on that property?
I'm getting some bites. I just listed the property about a month ago, and I think something's going to happen here real soon.
So that then bingo, you will immediately, the net worth will go from, seriously in debt to...
No, the net worth stays the same. It's just, the cash rich or the property rich. It's the same thing. Net worth is the same. Like that book, The Millionaire Next Door?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean a person has $1 million cash jangling in his pocket, nor would I.
Is this why you didn't get the job? Did they check into your finances?
No, you guys are looking for things that you'll never find. This is not why I didn't get it. I didn't ask for it, and I turned it down when it was offered to me.
Would you like to do an ad for your, your little ranch there now?
Get people from Washington, D.C. to come to Castle Creek and Paul,
we're on all over the country now.
Are you really?
Yes.
Yeah, we've got 55 affiliates.
Oh, my God. The whole United States I'm talking to right now?
Yes.
Well, they should all call me here at 760-751-8800.
Wonderful.
And I'll answer the phone.
I bet you will.
All right, so it doesn't sound like the same old Paul Walton.
No, something tells me this guy doesn't have two nickels to rub together.
It's very sad. We're feeling very sad about Paul Walton.
Can you tell me, Paul, how does a hungry man dinner taste?
A hungry man dinner?
What does a lean cuisine dinner taste like these days?
You know, that would taste good if someone could only make it for me.
You know, I'll tell you right now, how the mighty have fallen is true when Don said that. Could you just rattle off a few of the celebrities that you have hobnobbed with, Paul Walton?
Oh, jeez.
You know, back when you were rich, when they liked you for your money.
You know, I'll tell you, I could count my friends on one hand right now.
Well, how about the celebrities, Paul, for entertainment value?
Well, Tom Cruise is still my favorite. Met him in Washington, D.C. He's the nicest guy. I've seen him many other times since.
Have you talked to him since you lost all your money?
You kept saying I've lost the money. It's like butter. It's liquid butter or it's
like
hard
butter.
You know?
But have you talked to him since you've...
Since you've rearranged your assets?
I have talked with him, yes. And,
really? And what does Tom have to say?
Well, I don't really tell people about... You know, I pass out my cards now saying I own Castle Creek Inn, come and visit. But not too many people come this way.
Oh, this is... Why aren't people coming?
Fantastic.
Well, it's a little remote. It's in wine country. It's between San Diego and Los Angeles and Palm Springs.
Aren't there lots of rich snobs who would come out there?
Well... The rich snobs tend to want to go to the places like the Golden Door where Oprah goes to, or Calavie. Those are 2 miles away.
Well, if you're that close, couldn't you get like some of Oprah's residual business? I mean, the people who can't afford to go to the Golden Door?
Well, you know, it's...
How much is a night in your bungalow?
It's really... It's cheap. It's like $159, $159, and you can just stay one night. At the Golden Door, it's $5,200 a week, and you have to stay the whole week.
How's the food at the Cattail Creek thing?
Everything's great. Everything's wonderful.
You have cable?
You got hot soaking pools, four of them in a row. You got two saunas.
How's the golf course? Is it
golf course is 18-hole championship. Excellent.
You got the cable?
You got the cable.
You got a 4-star restaurant?
Everything. Got everything that you could imagine.
What's the problem, Paul?
Hold on, Rob, you got an
Line
update?
7 will be the producer of the Millionaire Show.
Ah. Okay. All right, we have the producer on, Paul.
Very good. Hello, let's talk to him privately first.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
This is the producer of the Millionaire Program.
It's true.
Hello, hi, this is Don and Mike. Who is this, please?
This is Mike.
Hi, Mike, listen, you're on the air right now.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Okay, cool.
We just wanted to ask, your show tonight, Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire?
Multi-millionaire.
A multi-millionaire.
Right. A multi-millionaire, oh.
Did you guys offer that position as being the groom? Did you offer that to a man named Paul Walton?
That does not sound familiar to me.
So you don't have any recollection of the name?
What, is Paul sitting over there bragging that he's a multimillionaire? I don't even know who that is.
We must get Paul Walton on the phone.
Paul, say hello to the producer of Fox's Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire.
The producer indicates that he doesn't know you, Paul.
Is that Mike Fleiss?
It is. Who's Mike, this?
This is Paul Walton, the owner of Castle Creek Inn in San Diego.
Oh, I remember you, Paul.
Oh. Really? Thank you. Someone remembers me.
Well, now, okay, now
I remember you.
All right, now you remember. We're just trying to clear up what Paul's connection was to the show.
Did you ever offer him the job as being?
No, we never offered it to anybody. Until we made a decision.
Oh, you didn't formally offer.
We talked to a lot of people, and Paul did come in to interview with us, but my recollection is that Paul. Was a little nervous about doing it. And,
okay,
right.
Then it checks out.
And didn't want to do it, and so we took his name out of the running. And
did you guys know at the time? Did you know that Paul's broke?
Oh.
I mean, really?
You want to hear that, Paul?
Don't listen to them, Mike.
Well, when we do a reverse spin on this, and we put a female millionaire up there, maybe you can be one of the contestants to try to marry her and get your money back.
You know, Paul apparently has all his money tied up in this resort right now. So it's basically he's telling us that he's land rich but not cash rich. But he was expressing regret that he had cold feet about doing this show, and he said,
"Well, Paul, wait till you see the girls.
Uh-huh.
These are beautiful women. They're wonderful women. They're sexy and intelligent and real people. You will have tremendous regret when you see them hit the stage.
I think Mike, remember when I was sitting in your office on Sunday morning?"
No, I do remember that now.
You opened up the office special for me that day?
Yep.
And you told me everything that would happen on the show? Let me tell you something. It's great, and I think I actually am now starting to regret that I didn't say yes.
Well, we're going to probably do more of these, Paul, so if you If you're getting a little ballsier, come on by.
All right. Thank you for your time, Mike.
Thank you, my friend. It's a great show. Watch it tonight at 8 o'clock on Fox.
We will. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks,
Mike.
Thank you very much.
Hold on. Come to Council Creek Inn, Mike.
Oh, shut up, Paul.
Well, Paul, I'll be honest with you.
Don, and Mike, why did you not believe what I said?
We thought you were lying to us.
All right. Well, you pulled it.
Why would I lie?
You pulled it, but technically, you weren't asked to be the millionaire.
Well,
technically.
They called me and asked me, brings me up, I mean, on a Sunday, opens up the office,
says,
think about it, we'd really like you to do it.
And he kind of was indicating that you had cold feet, which is what you told us to. So.
All right.
Well then, all hail Paul Walton.
Paul Walton, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. A man who is worth perhaps $30,000, maybe $40,000. Huzzah!
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 Would you offer any special to people listening to the show right now, a discount if they came to your resort? Since what do you have, one or two people staying there right now?
I sure will. If anyone says they've heard it from the Don and Mike show, and comes all the way out here to see me within the next month, between now and the Ides of March,
right,
15th of March, then instead of $159 for the night. You just mentioned Don and Mike, and you'll get it for $109, and that's the best deal I can give. It comes with a continental breakfast. It
Beautiful.
Comes with free soaking pools, fitness studio, sauna, down comforters, outdoor balconies, high vaulted ceilings.
What's wrong? Do you have rats or something? This place sounds beautiful. I can't believe you don't have people there.
No one knows about it. That's really it. It's the best kept secret, they say, in San Diego North County.
And because your money's tied up in the property, you don't have the budget to advertise. Is that it?
Exactly. This takes money to make money, and you're a little tapped out.
Listen, radio works, man.
It does.
It's probably a local station out there.
It's red hot, Don.
Paul, final question. Do you offer in-room porno? Do you have, like, Spectravision?
Well, we have some VCRs, and you can, bring your own porno movie and play it.
I'll bring your own BYOP.
You might want to think about getting Spectravision.
Spectravision.
All right. Paul Walton, he used to be a millionaire.
Yes.
He used to be on top of the world. And now look at him now. A commoner like the rest of us, eating his cheese sandwiches.
Now, are you going to call us when you get back on top again?
It's going to be the first call I'm going to make.
Good.
Beautiful. Paul, thank you for checking in.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys. My credibility is intact.
All right. Yes, it is.
It is. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
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 Hey, how about that producer, too, How about that guy?
I remember him now. Boy, he just pulled that out.
Oh, wow, that's
just
great.
Just pulled that out. Paul Walton. Oh,
Paul Walton.
How the mighty have fallen.
Boy, sounded very, very depressed.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
I do hope that one of our listeners goes down there so we can get a full report on the place, He's just sitting there like with a three-day growth of beard in his undershirt.
Yeah, come on. You want gum?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Of a job. That's the way to fight through it. How about you, Tim?
All right.
One man.
Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Miriam.
Yes, I have the movies.
You do?
I was called number 99 100 contest.
All right, Miriam. Did you go on the web to find that?
Yes, I did.
Of course you did. Yes.
1987, Best Actress, Aliens.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Okay, 89, Best Actress, Girls in the Mist, and 89, also Best Supporting Actress in Working Girl.
Ah.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Miriam.
Very good. And she was nominated twice in one year.
You were able to just instantly go to the internet and find that information?
Well, I had that information previously because I wanted to win the contest.
Okay.
She did it in advance.
That's right.
Buzz is very defensive about his internet skills.
It's okay, Buzz.
You still trying to look that up, Buzz?
All the pages that have been listed by Yahoo are either out of business, they're dead, they're no longer existent, or it's just a photo gallery. That's all I've been able to find through Yahoo on your advice so far.
Okay. During the commercial, don't push me, but during the commercial, I'll go back to the computer in the producer's room.
Okay.
And I'll pull up the page.
So it's going to be a race?
Yeah, a race.
Hell no.
You can do it. You can do it right now while we're on the air. I'll go do it when we break for commercials.
You're going to use the computer on the left or the right?
It doesn't matter. They're both the same.
Because the computer on the left is very slow.
I don't think that there's much of a difference in the speed of those computers.
In the speed of the two?
Yeah, I think.
So they're both a little slow?
They're both hooked up to the same thing. Every time I use those computers, they're rather quick, really. You mean the ones in the producer's room?
Yeah.
No, I like those computers.
Well, I mean, when I log on, they're slow. It takes a while for them to log on. When they, when you get on the like the website, when you get on the internet, they move fairly well.
Ah. Still looking, Buzz?
I'm trying a different search engine now because the last one was not productive.
All right. Thank you. Hey, Miriam, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, baby. All right, in fact, it is Sigourney Weaver.
Yes.
Congratulations. Mary wins $1,000.
And we're finding out everything about Sigourney Weaver now. It's a, you know, Sigourney Weaver Day on the show.
Hello, David.
Yes.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Don and Mike, how are you?
Hey, we're doing great, thank you.
Good. Took my kids this weekend to see the Tigger movie.
Yeah.
And about halfway through, there's a scene where the rest of the characters are pretending to be his family, and up on the mantelpiece are two candles, which, without a doubt, for about 2 seconds, were two people. Nine.
They did it again?
I'm sure they did it again.
Those nasty animators that get frustrated?
Normally the disgruntled cartoonists who put penises in Disney cartoons, they don't get noticed until the movies come out on video.
Yeah, that'd be, what a horrible reason for everyone to go see the Tigger movie.
I would agree with it. It definitely had, I guess you would say these candles had a helmet up top.
Are you sure it's not just you?
There's certainly a possibility of that. I mean, maybe I'm looking for
it. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a major announcement to make. Buzz has found out Sigourney Weaver's age.
She's 5 years and one day older than I am at 51.
Buzz, way to go.
Thank you.
Way to
Thank
go. You
did it, Buzz.
Sure.
Buzz, she was born October 8th, 49.
That's correct.
That's right.
Buzz Burbank, internet expert. Webmaster, Buzz Burbank. You're like Spider-Man. You're the webmaster.
Oh, yeah.
Way to go, Buzz. Thank you for the information.
Thank you.
Where did you finally find that information, Buzzy?
Well, I used the Netscape search engine, as a matter of fact, since all the Yahoo ones you mentioned for me were worthless.
Right.
Thanks for the dead end.
Yeah. Right. Yahoo's a big dead end. You know, Yahoo sucks. Nobody uses Yahoo these days.
Right.
Well, I think we all ought to get computer terminals.
I think we all should have them.
Rob?
Well, we could certainly have a race in here to see who could get on the net faster. I think my chances against Father Time.
Yeah, the best way to do it is not to even use the search engine. The best way to do it is to know the website.
Oh, and there you know what? Speaking of the web, I got a great quiz. Maybe I could go pull it off my email. If not today, tomorrow or the next day.
Buzz can get it for you.
It is a quiz. No. It is a quiz about personality.
Ah.
And it's not so much that it's a great quiz to find out what kind of person you are.
Right.
But as I was looking at the questions, I thought it'd be interesting for each of us to fill out this quiz and then to have people call in on the air and see if they can guess what our answers will be.
Oh, that's terrific.
Because there were questions about morals. Sex.
Oh, here we go. Probably how many drinks do you have a week? Those things.
Politics.
Right.
Religion.
Okay.
Alcohol.
Alcohol's on there?
Yeah.
Hey, don't applaud that, Rob. That's not good for us.
You know, off the top of my head, let me just see. Maybe we did this on the fly right now.
Okay.
One of the questions was, how many people have you had sex? Number of sex partners.
Okay.
Number of partners. Another was, have you ever engaged in anal sex?
Okay.
Another question was...
Yeah, I wish you had this. This is cool.
Oh, crap. Let me see. Have you ever shoplifted before?
Okay.
Here's one that I knew you'd be interested in, Mike. Have you ever bounced a check? Have you ever lied to a creditor before?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever declared bankruptcy? That was another one. Have you ever had a car repossessed?
Okay.
Then it was on to politics. Are you Republican, Democrat, or other?
All right. I notice you're not writing down those questions.
Well, that I can remember.
Okay.
Are you Republican or Democrat or other? What's the last election you voted in?
Mm-hmm.
What is your religion? Do you believe in God? Do you believe there is a heaven? Do you believe there is a hell?
What about the last one?
Do you believe that you have lived in another life?
Do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart? And, of course, Catherine Kuhlman, do you believe in miracles?
Do you believe in magic? Bad Billy Warner.
Do you believe in magic?
Hell, heaven.
Man Watchers Compliment Week.
Past lives. Well, that's not a bad question. I mean, they had a
lot. That's a good question. I mean, you seem to have quite a few of the questions there.
They had a lot of more specific questions.
Okay.
About sex and stuff.
Yeah.
One of the questions was, have you ever used a condom?
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the questions. Ever used a condom?
Condom.
A condom.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we all just, Robbie, why don't you whip us up some copies of this?
All right.
All right. Hey, Father Time, are you writing that stuff down?
I just wrote down my answers so far.
Oh, really? Already?
Yeah, sure. See, now let me point out what just happened there.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz was faster than both of us with writing down his answers.
Oh, well, hold on. Give me some credit. I'm trying to remember the questions, and I'm writing the questions down. You are sitting there like little Jack Horner with your thumb in the pie.
I'm just pointing out a fact that he was faster than everyone in the room.
Okay. I was trying to play his music again, but it was not queued up.
Oh, okay.
All right, so the questions are... Have you ever used a condom?
Am I supposed to write down my answers now?
Yes, why don't we all do this now? We'll have people call it and guess our answer.
All right.
Okay, first question.
Oh, man, I hate it when I have to get up.
Have you ever used a condom?
Okay. And we're putting these in numerical order, correct?
Yes, question one. Have you ever used a condom?
All right.
Question number two.
Mm-hmm.
Number of sexual partners you've had.
Hmm.
Okay. Have you ever had anal? Question number four. Have you ever had a homosexual fantasy? Question number five. Have you ever had a homosexual dream? Question number six. Have you ever shoplifted? Question seven, have you ever bounced a check?
Mm-hmm.
Question number eight, have you ever lied to a creditor? Question number nine, have you ever declared bankruptcy? Question number 10.
Hold on a second.
I forgot one there.
Okay, you got no, we're up at 10, right?
Up to 10, all right. Your political party of choice.
Okay.
Have you voted before?
Just in general?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
For president. Have you voted for president?
Mm-hmm.
What is the last election you voted for president in? What year?
Yeah. I got you. Nice to see you. How you doing?
What is your religion?
What if you've been kicked out?
What's your religion right now?
I don't know.
Okay, then put I don't know.
I have not.
14, do you believe in heaven? 15, do you believe in hell? And 16, do you believe in past lives? Okay, that's good. There's 16 questions there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody answer?
Yes.
You know, we'll go through these. Here's what we'll do.
Okay.
We'll take calls at 1-877-365-3636. I think to win a prize, we can have someone do it for me, you,
okay.
Buzzy, Rob, and Chuck Broyhill.
All right.
How many do you think to win a prize out of 16 they'd have to get right?
10.
10?
10 out of 16.
Really? That's very lenient.
You think maybe we can go more, but I wouldn't go less.
What do you think, Buzz?
I think 10 is a good figure.
Robbie?
10's good.
10?
Out of 16?
Right.
10 out of 16 wins you a prize.
10 out of 16 you get a prize. Okay? And you can't pick who you want to play for. You just call up and you just get whoever it is.
Okay, so you have to take each individual, right?
Yeah, because I see already we have some people that want to play for me and some people want to play for you and some people want to play for Buzz.
So you just call in and we're going to do it on a rotating basis.
You'll just get one of the five of us right now. And if you get 10 out of the 16...
This is fun.
You're a winner. We will be right back. So call Erica right now.
This is the Dawn and Mike.
Okay. Hi, this is Dorm Radio, D-O-R-M, broadcasting live from the basement of the Science Building.
Expertly aged like a fine cheddar, the best of Don and Mike.
We're going to try to give away some fabulous prizes to see how well you know the Don and Mike show.
That's good. I like that.
We have 16 questions, and I believe what we decided is if you get 10 out of 16...
You're a winner.
You're a winner. So, guys, be honest.
Are you talking to us or the people that are calling in?
I'm talking to you guys.
Right.
You guys who took the test.
I'm never anything but.
Okay, then would you like to go first?
Surely.
Okay, let's go to Phil.
Phil?
Hi, Phil. Phil?
Yes.
Hi, Phil. Where are you calling from?
Alexandria.
Phil, you'll be playing with Mike.
Okay.
And if you get 10 out of 16 correct, you will win a prize.
I'd like to show you that one of my answers was changed down here. I'd like to show you that in advance.
That's fine.
All right? You'll notice that none of these other answers have been altered.
Gotcha.
Very good.
Mike?
Well, the last one here was.
Mike, have you ever worn a condom? Phil, what did Mike answer?
Yes.
What did he say?
Yes.
All right.
Your answer, Mike?
Have I ever worn a condom?
Yes.
Yes.
That's one for you, Phil.
Congratulations, Phil.
Question number two. Phil, how many sexual partners has Mike had?
Mike? Say 14, Mike.
Close.
Mike, how many?
I put down 20.
All right, you got that one wrong.
I am a whore.
Not as bad as some of us.
I'm just guessing, too. That was a guess. That was the toughest one to answer.
Mike, have you ever had anal sex? Phil, what do you think?
No.
Mike?
That is correct. The answer is no.
You've been around that area, though.
Yes, I have. No penetration, though.
Mike, have you ever had a homosexual fantasy? Phil, has Mike ever had a homosexual fantasy?
No.
Mike?
That is correct.
Is somebody counting how many this guy has, right?
I'm counting. He's got 3 out of 4.
Mike, have you ever had a homosexual dream? Phil, has Mike ever had a homosexual dream?
Yep.
Mike?
Phil, I'm sorry to tell... Yes. Yes, I have. I couldn't tell you what one it was, but I know I've had one.
Mike, have you ever shoplifted?
No.
Well, hold on.
Thank you. No.
I'm sorry. I was eager in my denial.
All right, that one doesn't count, Phil.
All right. Yes. Yes, I have. No, I haven't.
Phil, has Mike ever bounced a check?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes, I have.
Phil, has Mike ever lied to a creditor?
Yes.
Oh, Phil. Yes, you're right.
Phil, has Mike ever filed for bankruptcy?
No, I don't think he's gone that far.
Mike? Oh, you don't know me, Phil. No, I haven't.
Phil, what is Mike's choice when it comes to political parties?
Democrat, Mike?
You are correct, Phil.
Has Mike voted for president, Phil?
Yes.
Yes, of course. In a minute.
What is the last year that Mike voted in the presidential election, Phil?
99.
99?
In the presidential election.
Was the question the last presidential election or the last time we voted?
No, presidential election.
Okay.
I would have answered affirmative to either one of them.
Right, you made that clear.
So he said the last one, and that right. And then technically he is right.
Yep. All right, so it's the last time you voted?
No, did you vote in the last... I think the question should be, since you're asking, did you vote in the last presidential election?
Okay.
That's what I thought it was.
All right, gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mike, what is your... Phil, what is Mike's religion?
Catholic.
Mike?
I do not have a religion.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Right.
Phil, does Mike believe in heaven?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes, of course I do. Yes, I do believe there is a heaven.
Phil, does Mike believe in hell?
Yes.
Mike?
You are correct, Phil. With all of my fiber and being, I believe there is a hell, and I believe we might all be going there.
And Phil, does Mike believe in past lives?
Yes.
Yeah, I do, kind of. I believe in a whole... I believe in everything, if I might have mentioned that.
He might be a winner. How many did he get right, Mike?
14 out of 16.
Wow.
With my eager one that I jumped in on there.
You know Mike pretty good.
Yes, yeah. Very good, Phil.
Phil, you went on the Soprano stuff from HBO. Hold on, please, Phil.
Thank you.
Hold on a second.
Good job, Phil.
Thanks a lot. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you. We do appreciate it. I think I'll play with Mandy.
Mandy.
Hi, Mandy.
Hi.
Mandy, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Georgia.
Beautiful. Mandy, you'll be playing with me, Don.
Great.
This is Don, Mandy. Say hi.
Don. Hi, Don.
Hi there. Mandy, have I ever used a condom?
Yes.
No.
No?
I have not.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I don't lie.
Wow.
Sorry, Leah.
You're lying.
lying.
No, I'm not.
No, okay. He's telling the truth.
Well,
what reason would he have to lie?
Where do you get to some of my other answers?
Okay.
Mandy, how many sexual partners have I had?
15.
I'm waiting for this one.
40.
No.
That's good. Close to the truth.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Mandy.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Mr. 20. Mandy.
Yes.
Have I ever experienced anal sex?
No.
That's right. That's
I listen to you every day. I know you're anal about anal sex.
Have I ever had a homosexual fantasy?
No.
That's correct. Have I ever had a homosexual dream?
Yes.
No.
No?
I have not, I would tell you. I really would tell you. Have I ever shoplifted?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, of course I have. Have I ever bounced a check?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. To Mike. Mandy, have I ever lied to a creditor?
Yes.
Yes. Mandy, have I ever filed for bankruptcy?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh!
I have.
Right. Me too.
I have, Mandy.
There you go.
A long time ago, but I did.
Oh.
What is my political party of choice?
Democrat.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Have I voted for president?
Yes.
Did I vote in the last election?
Yes.
Yes. What is my religion?
Catholic. She's...
Catholic? No.
Sorry.
Episcopalian.
Oh.
Do I believe in heaven?
Yes.
Yes. Do I believe in hell?
Yes.
No.
No?
I don't.
I think.
Do I believe in past lives?
Yes.
Yes, I do. Let me add those up. 2, 4, 6, 8. 10.
Just got in there.
Barely made it.
You got in there, Mandy.
Yes.
You barely made it, Mandy.
I just called wanting to you guys to give me something for the weekend. My husband and I are finally getting away for the weekend, away from the kids.
Oh, that's great, good. Mandy. You came and you gave without taking.
Well, enjoy your Sopranos prize pack from HBO.
Sopranos.
Thank you. Thank you, Mandy. Oh,
thank you.
Hold on, please, darling. Okay, let's go to Buzz next.
That's interesting. Yours was very interesting. I like that.
Honest. Yep. I can't wait to hear the rest of the guys.
Yes, now I'm fascinated because we know less and less about, after Buzz, Rob and Charlie will be...
They're the mystery. Yes,
I think Broyhill will be the biggest mystery
of
all.
I believe so.
Yes, he will.
And the most prone to lying.
We may have to lower the bar there. But yeah, I think that Mike and I have demonstrated that we are honest about this.
And we're consistent.
Yeah,
very much so, absolutely.
Yes. You know what? Let's do a break first.
Okay, this is neat.
And then come back and we'll see how well people know Buzz and Rob and Charlie.
Good. Excellent.
Okay, stay right there. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike.
Badges. We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
All right, let's get back to the How Well Do You Know the Don and Mike Show quiz. And next up is the enigma known as Buzz Burbank.
They should get 18 out of 16 on this exam. I'm pretty well known.
Here is Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Billy.
Hello, Billy. Where are you calling from, Brian?
Well, actually, right now I'm on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. I want to thank you guys. I love listening to your show. I drive from the Eastern Shore all the way back to outside Annapolis every day, and you guys make this commute fly by.
Oh, you're very nice. Thank you.
You're very nice.
Brian, you will be playing with Buzz Burbank.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to give me the enigma known as Charlie Broyhill.
If you get 10 out of 16 correct,
okay,
you will win the Sopranos prize pack.
Okay.
Has Buzz ever used a condom?
Yes.
Buzz?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, that's one. Buzz, keep track of his correct answer, please.
It.
What is the number of sexual partners Buzz Burbank has had?
Oh, my God. I'm going to say 25.
I estimated 18 to 20, sorry.
18 to 20.
Okay.
Counting the swapping?
Yes. Exactly. 18 to 20.
Has Buzz ever had anal sex?
Yes.
The answer is yes.
No! Yeah!
Let me just say, I never go where I'm not invited.
Has Buzz ever had a homosexual fantasy?
Fan- to see no.
No is correct.
Has Buzz ever had a homosexual dream?
Yes.
The answer is yes.
Would you care to tell us about it?
Yeah, I remember it. It's a few years back, but it involved my wife and David Bowie. Go figure.
You're a good one, Buzz. Has Buzz ever shoplifted?
Does night dreams count?
No, has Buzz ever shoplifted?
I'm going to say no.
The answer is yes.
Oh! Buzz the bad boy.
As a kid, I was goaded into it as a kid.
Has Buzz ever bounced a check?
Yes.
The answer is no.
Oh, you've never bounced a check?
Never.
I believe that.
Banks, there have been bank screw-ups, but I made them correct it. And no, I've never bounced a check.
I believe that.
I'm proud of you, Buzz.
That's our Buzz. Has Buzz ever lied to a creditor?
No.
The answer is no.
Wow. Okay, Superman.
Yeah.
Has Buzz ever filed for declared bankruptcy?
No.
No is right.
Correct again.
He's got the perfect credit record on this show.
Yeah.
What is Buzz's political party of choice?
I think Buzz is an independent.
Buzz?
I wrote Democrat.
Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you, Buzz. I wouldn't have known that.
Oh, really?
Really? Just with your slant on the news and all.
Right-wing slant on the news. He's the biggest liberal in the room.
And that gigantic McCain and 2000 sticker on the back of your car.
Hey, I liked Ike. I like McCain.
Has Buzz voted in a presidential election?
Yeah.
The answer is yes.
When's the last time Buzz voted? Did Buzz vote in the last presidential election?
Yeah.
The answer is yes.
Yeah, we should say that about this show. We don't have a lot of convictions on this show, but I will tell you, we're all pretty much into the voting. We're loopy for the voting.
We care.
Mm-hmm.
What is Buzz's religion?
If the joke is right, he's a Methodist.
The answer is Methodist.
Methodist. Methodist it is.
Wow.
Does Buzz believe in heaven?
Yes.
I put no.
Wow.
Does Buzz believe in hell?
No.
I put no.
Does Buzz believe in past lives?
No.
And the answer is no.
Well, this guy probably scored bigger than anybody.
How many did he get, Buzz?
He missed three, so he got 13 out of 16.
13 out of 16, very nice.
Good job, sir.
Hey, guys, I want to thank you again. I love listening to your show. You guys are the gods.
Thank you. Hold on, please, for your Sopranos prize pack.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Well, we've had three winners thus far.
Three winners, and I think so far, Buzz, your contestant did the best.
I think so.
Being the fact that your life is an open book.
Pretty much, that's true.
Let's go to Rob Spiewak now.
Here we go.
I think we're all pretty open. I think the three guys that you've heard thus far, me, Mike, and Buzz, we're very open. Now we get to the secretive guys, Robbie and Charlie.
I'm just racked with guilt right now. I just want to go on record. My person already won, but I may have lied about the homosexual fantasy.
Hello. Hi, Pam.
May have.
Hello. Hello, Pam.
Hello.
Hi, Pam. Where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. I'm in Maryland.
And just because I was thinking that way, when you said, hi, Pam, I thought you were talking to Rob.
Pam, you will be playing with Rob Spiewak.
That's a little bit of pressure.
Yes, it is. If you get 10 out of 16, you win the Sopranos prize pack.
Okay.
Pam, has Rob Spiewak ever used a condom?
Yes.
She is right. Wearing one right now.
Pam, what is the number of sexual partners Rob Spiewak has had?
I'm going to say 10.
Robbie? Lower.
How many?
Six.
Pure as the driven snow among this company.
Phenomenally lucky ladies.
Ladies. That's right.
Ladies.
Six ladies. But you'll know them as
And how many of the six were consensual?
Screaming is a turn on for me. Screaming is the best.
Pam, has Rob Spiewak had anal sex?
I'm going to say yes.
She's a winner.
But it was a long time ago.
Yeah, we've been there before.
Were you invited?
A long time ago.
Are you inviting?
Has Rob Spiewak had a homosexual fantasy?
I'm going to say yes.
Thank you. No. What a sweet lady.
Thank you.
Hello, after talking to her.
Has Rob Spiewak ever had a homosexual dream?
Yes.
No.
Good for you.
I should have gone with the same theme.
Have you? Did I forget what you answered with that?
No, no one.
So both you boys, no one know.
Right.
Okay.
Right, Mike.
All right.
Right, Mike.
Okay, yeah.
Pam, has Rob Spiewak ever shoplifted?
Yes.
Pam, you underestimate me. I have never stolen anything.
Oh,
and he's,
man.
Boy, he had that serious Rob look.
Pam?
I come from a family of merchants.
That's true. Has Rob Spiewak ever bounced a check?
Yes.
Yes, but not since my wife has taken over the checking account. We're better about
that. Way to go.
Now.
I appreciate your honesty. I like Buzz with that bank error.
Pam, has Rob Spiewak ever lied to a creditor?
No.
She's right. I've never lied to a creditor.
Wow. You're such a liar.
What would I lie about?
Please, everybody lies to creditors. Except Buzz.
That's right. That's you and me. We believe everyone is lying about that, and I think we're secure in that.
Yeah, never lied to credit. Never had a reason to.
Just let us believe that you're lying. It would be easier, Rob.
All right.
Thank you.
Has Rob ever filed for or declared bankruptcy?
No.
That is right.
You'd never know it to talk to him, though.
What is Rob's political party of choice?
Democrat.
That is not right.
Certainly not right.
What are you, Rob?
Really, it's hard to say because I don't have any strong political leanings, but if anything, I'm a Republican.
Okay.
Good for you, Rob.
Just like Don.
Has Rob voted in the presidential election?
Yes.
Yes is right.
Did Rob vote in the last presidential election?
No.
That was wrong. I vote in every election.
State, county, and
more than once.
What is Rob A's religion?
School board.
Right. I've done it.
What is Rob A's religion?
Rob's Jewish?
Absolutely. No. I'm Methodist.
Methodist, no Buzz.
Yes. I used to be a Catholic, but the proper answer is Methodist.
Methodist.
Does Rob believe in heaven?
Yes.
And I work there. yes, I do believe in heaven.
Does Rob A believe in hell?
Yes.
I'm married, aren't I? Yes.
Bada bing.
No, I'm kidding, darling.
And finally, hey, darling. Finally, does Rob Spiewak believe in past lives?
Yes.
No, I'm sorry.
He does not. Robbie, how many did you get correct?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 for Pam.
Oh, Pam.
Too bad, Pam.
I'm sorry, Pam.
Pam, you just didn't know Rob.
Sorry, baby.
Thank you.
Allow me to invite you.
Get to know me. Goodbye. All right, now, time for the real wild card.
Oh, yeah, we're all looking forward to this one.
Yes, we are. Producer Charles Broyhill, step up, please.
Here we go. I'm really looking forward to this.
Mm-hmm. Here comes Charlie Broyhill, and to play with Charlie, we have Rick. Hi there, Rick.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy, where are you calling from?
Rochester, New York.
Listening on WHTK. Rick?
Rick, let me give you a piece of advice before you start with Charlie. I think maybe you might want to break out the eight ball to help you with your answers here.
Whatever Rick? I think the answer is going to be, it's going to be opposite what I think.
Rick, has Charles Broyhill ever used a condom?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
That I'm surprised at.
What is the sexual number of partners Charles?
See what I use it for.
Charles Broyhill has had. How many sexual partners has he had?
I'd have to go with 19.
No.
What's the number?
Higher.
What's the number?
50.
Oh, 50. Pity. My.
Pity. Good
God.
Man. Good man. Easily the most honest man on this panel.
You ho.
With that question. Has Charles Broyhill ever experienced anal sex?
Yes.
No, I have not.
Has Charles Broyhill ever had a homosexual fantasy?
No.
No, I haven't.
Oh, I'm sorry. That one right. You got that one right.
You're all just being so dishonest.
Has Charlie Broyhill ever had a homosexual dream?
No.
No, I haven't.
Oh, he's doing well with Charlie.
Has Charlie ever shoplifted?
Yes.
Many times.
Has Charlie ever bounced a check?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
Would that also be many times?
No, just once.
Oh, okay.
And it was my fault, not Buzz's.
Thank you.
Has Charlie ever lied to a creditor?
Who hasn't? Yes, he has.
I have not.
Oh! You know what, Mike? You and I are the only ones man enough to come clean on this issue.
I know.
Has Charlie ever filed for or declared bankruptcy?
No.
No, I haven't.
Can you turn your radio down there, Rick?
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Turn it down, please.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right, now we're going to get into the tough questions, even tougher than the sex questions.
Mm-hmm. What is Charlie's political party of choice?
Democrat?
No.
What is it?
I don't have one.
He does not have one.
Shocker of shockers.
Has Charlie ever voted in the presidential elections?
Yes.
No.
No, he has not.
Wow.
Did he vote in the last presidential election?
No.
Well, that's an easy question.
Right? Hey, but it works.
Okay. What is Charlie Broyhill's religion?
Catholic.
I don't practice any.
Does Charlie Broyhill believe in heaven?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
He's here now in heaven.
Hearing you say that makes me laugh. I don't know why.
Does Charles Broyhill believe in hell?
Yes.
No, I don't.
Oh.
Oh, interesting.
And does Charles Broyhill believe in past lives?
No.
I do.
Wow. Oh. Man.
He's got to be a big loser. How many get
eight.
Right?
Eight.
Oh, eight.
Sorry about that.
Sorry, Rick.
Thanks, guys.
Sorry. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Fascinating.
All right, there you go. That's the segment called Do You Know the Don and Mike Show?
And we can do this with lots of questions.
Sure. Sure we can.
We can revisit this little nervous segment.
We can explore. We can do one quiz just based on sexuality.
Absolutely.
Another quiz just based on morals.
Yeah, I think that's terrific. You know, I wish everybody hadn't shut down the gay fantasy question.
Well.
No, my answer was no. My answer was no, no, no.
No, you had a gay dream, though.
Yeah, but I don't remember what it was. Well, so did Buzz. What about David Bowie?
I know.
Mine was about a real man. I don't know.
So to recap.
Brian Dennehy.
To recap, my girl had 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. 10 correct. Mike, your guy who played with you had how many right?
I think 12.
Buzzy, your guy had...
13.
13. Robbie, your girl had...
Niner.
Niner, and Charlie's guy had 8. 8 correct.
Wow.
All right, that's the quiz.
Boy, that was a very, very nervous little segment.
Yes, it was. It sure was. We should do that again sometime in the future.
I think it's a great idea.
Hey, you know what? I'd like to do it real fast.
Your honey?
Yeah, if anybody wants to play with Frida.
Oh, good.
Let me get her on the telephone right now. Oh, no, Mike, someone on the telephone. I don't want you to play with her. I'm going to give someone a chance to win a prize.
All right, very good.
I'd be curious to know some of her answers.
Hello?
Hey, hi.
Hello.
Hey, hello.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, hi, buddy.
Hey, do it with me.
Oh, I'm not doing it with you. Put Mommy on the phone.
You haven't lived long enough yet.
Oh, come on.
No, come on. Put Mommy
on. Mom says you should do it with me. She doesn't want to.
Oh, really? What would Mommy have to hide?
I don't know.
Why don't you please put Mom on the phone?
Sugar Bear, you couldn't get 10 right with me.
You don't think so? Oh, what do you want to bet?
Oh, bad sell.
Bad sell, hold on.
Now, everyone's curiosity is at a fever pitch.
The intrigue grows.
This is interesting. What do you think of that statement?
I don't know.
That's interesting. These aren't real tough.
I mean, I think, well, maybe the anal's a question. I'm just being honest. You know, certainly not with me, but...
Right.
I was not the first.
Sure.
You know, in my wife's life.
Hi, I'm not on my cell phone right now.
All right, she's in a bad cell.
Oh, man.
Let me give her a second to see if she calls back.
Okay. Yeah, because that was just an interesting statement. You couldn't get 10 with me.
I bet I could.
I bet you could, too. I'd lay odds that you could.
Sure. Sure I could. I mean, a lot of them I know.
Of course.
Like her religion and her political party and if she voted and the past lives crap. It must all be based on the sex thing.
Yeah, it would mean that you would probably have to go like 0-4 on the first four.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'd kill it this game. Come on, honey. Pull the car off on the side of the road, please.
But you're not going to be playing, right? A listener's going to be playing. You should play along with the listener. Unless you feel that you have to play.
Well, now, I feel like she's thrown down the gauntlet.
That's interesting.
Saying that I couldn't get 10 out of 16 correct.
I'm not playing with you, my sugar bear, but I'll play at Home Alone tonight.
You'll play what?
I'll play with you the home version tonight.
Oh, come on. Why are you afraid to play?
Please. I'm not afraid, but I'm a mother, and I've got a certain responsibility to my child.
Is it question?
Thank you. To set a good example and not to embarrass
him. Is it question 3? I had nothing to be embarrassed about.
You know
about.
What? These are questions that you've never had the nerve to ask me face to face. And right. So if you want to do that tonight and keep it just between me and
oh,
you,
I could not make that promise.
Well, then I can't because we have a child and I can't put him in a situation that is potentially embarrassing.
Why? What's embarrassing? I'll tell him flat out, I've never had anal sex.
Oh, God.
I've never had a homosexual fantasy. I've never had a homosexual dream.
What would be embarrassing if you did have a homosexual dream?
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's
Mike.
Right. Nothing. There's That's anything right. wrong with that.
All right. Well, I'm going to guess that, yes, my wife has been with a guy who's used a condom. Is that correct?
I can't believe that you've never used one.
I never have.
Back over in the early days of us.
We never used one.
I guess you would remember. I don't really even remember that.
We never did.
Well, anyway, I'm not having this discussion because of Bart. If I didn't have Bart, I would tell you everything right up. But he's got to have one parent that at least has the potential of having, you know, morals and things.
Hey, what did I say by answering these questions that somehow cut into my morality? It's no secret that I shoplifted. I'm not proud of that, but that's not a secret. It's no secret that I filed for bankruptcy. That's not anything I wouldn't tell him. You know, what is it? That I never worn a condom?
No, now that phone's breaking up.
You know, she's got some secrets, for goodness sakes.
Interesting.
She has some deep-rooted secrets, my wife does.
And when she said the questions you wouldn't ask her, you know, between the two of you, now...
It must be about...
Now I'm...
That's all I can think.
And you haven't discussed that with her?
No.
Interesting.
I've just assumed... And, of course, you can't spell assume without A-S-S.
Wow. All right.
All right, well, she's gone. In a bad cell.
Bad. That was very, very bad.
Okay.
That's interesting.
I can only guess.
I guess you're going to take that quiz home, though.
No, not if she forbids me from telling you guys what the answers are.
Okay, you're not even going to ask if... No point.
What's the point of knowing if I can't yap about it on the radio? I mean, who cares? All right, let's just change the topic.
Let's do that. Yes, there's the transition music.
There it is.
Coming at a very good time.
There it is. However, a very interesting moment with Miss Friedeis.
Always an adventure on this program.
Very interesting. I bet number three had to be yes, then.
What is number three?
The anal question. Had to be. How could that be? How could that be? I might have to ask her about that tonight.
Maybe she, you know, whatever the answer is in the affirmative or negative, she will swear you to secrecy.
Well, I just have to break that.
Oh.
I just have to break that trust.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
The best of Don and Mike.
You know, for a long time, the family and I would go out to some of the finest buffet restaurants in the, in the Northern Virginia area.
Let me just say that for those who don't know, my coast, the real hole-in-the-wall
right.
redneck diners, generally.
I went to two restaurants over the weekend, and I went to a really super fancy one on Friday night, that one we go to occasionally, the one you've been to.
Oh, right, sure.
You know, it's funny when you talk about the table, because we went down there on Friday night, and they put us, like, if they could have put us any further off the dining room floor, it would have been the greenhouse.
Oh, really?
And, you know, and the fact that they were, you know, we were in the chairs that were, like, you know, like the lawn chair type things, you know, and I finally said, is there any way, because my butt was sliding off the chair, and I had to move my table back, like, and we had to go back into the main dining room, and so it was here we go, back into the main dining room. But, I mean, just that was a good restaurant, but the place that I think Charlie Broyhill on the weekend, at the beginning of the weekend, I said, I'm going to a new buffet place. Now, you know, for a long time, I've talked about the Old Country Buffet that I go to.
Yes, you have.
And the Old Country Buffet is fine. It's good, great, clean, good service, plenty of food. Yes, it's cafeteria style, but I'll tell you right now. We went to the Great American Steak and Buffet.
Oh,
and man, oh man. Let me tell you something. It was really special.
Why?
It was special for this reason. Because when we walked in, it was Sunday. And it was Sunday at about 1 o'clock.
Sunday.
Which is prime after church, hit the trough. You know, go in there and feast. So there were a lot of people in. And I immediately stressed out. The first thing you see when you walk in is you see the big grill. And he's frying. frying up like chicken breasts and steaks and stuff. But it's a buffet-style restaurant. And I'm flying blind. I've never been there, and I don't know how it works. I don't. But there's enough of a crowd in there where I'm stressing a little bit, saying, oh, there are going to be lines for everything. Because, frankly, I don't want to slam Old Country, because this is, I know I'll be going back. I know I'll be going back there, and I don't want to slam them. But I'll tell you,
such a great place.
The problem there sometimes is the choice item that's up for sale in there is, and it's not for sale, you pay one fee and then you get all the food, it's the fried chicken. And so quite often you will have 8-9 people just hovering around the fried chicken, just waiting for the choice food to come. Let me tell you something, the food they had there, there was so much of it. There were so many piles of delicious, hot, piping hot food that, you know, you sit down there, and we were there with the whole family. The whole clan was there. It was me, my wife, Catherine, Elizabeth, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, their two kids, our whole gang. That's our posse,
right,
that we come in with. And so we got in really quickly, and then we went into this buffet, and it was just so much food, so much wonderful, delicious cafeteria style food that you could really enjoy.
You are such a nut.
And here's really the deal. And here's the, I am, but I tell you, I know quality too. I know quality for the dollar. And I'll tell you this right now, that some of those buffet places, you know, cleanliness is not job one. You know what I mean?
Did I hear you mention clean with the other place?
Yeah, what's that? The Old Country, yes, clean. Yes, clean.
Really?
Yes. There's another one. I'm not, listen, I know that I'm going to go back probably to every buffet style restaurant I've ever eaten at, so you won't hear a bad mouthing of any of those places. But I will tell you, the last one I went to that will go nameless, not really the cleanest one I've ever been in, and also kind of brand new. So I just want, you know, they should be aware of the fact that you can always tell when you walk in the doors and there's a glass door. It's not the cleanest door you've ever seen. You can tell by the door. You can always take a look at the front door. But this place had ham, chicken, roast beef. They had barbecued ribs.
You should be like the food critic for one of those free newspapers you get at the grocery store.
I would be very good at that. And, you know, I went back on doing the protein again, and so I can't eat any carbohydrates. So I was actually really looking for protein. Now, the problem at the other place is that they'd only have a few of the proteins, and the proteins were kind of eh. Well, this, I mean, it was a meat lover's paradise is what it was. Not only can you order your own steak if you want. You know, you order a steak and you get the buffet.
Right.
That's why it's called the Great American Steak and Buffet.
Are they paying you for this?
No, I'm just telling you, when something's good, I like to rave about it. And I'll tell you, I went in there and you know, it was very, very crowded. But because of the fact they had so much stuff, it was fantastic. And the only thing that I diverted from the carbohydrates, I was trying to you know, withhold the carbos. And then I saw they had the freshly baked apple turnovers there. And I walked by them once, walked by them twice, third time, just had to grab one. And I know I blew it a little bit, but not totally. But it was a fantastic experience. You know, the beverages came on a regular basis from our waitress. It was quality dining for the whole family. And when you have kids, my kids are 4 and 2, you want to just bring them into a place, you want to sit them down, you want to get like a plate full of food and get it in front of them as soon as possible. It's just the way I enjoy eating and the way I enjoy dining. So I just would like to give it, Don, I know you're laughing, but I'd like to give it 4 stars. Absolutely phenomenal. And you know, there was one item in particular.
Why would you give it 4 cement blocks? The cement blocks that you would put under the where the wheels of the car should be in your front yard.
There were lots of shirts and ties in there. There really were.
Yeah, lots of string ties.
Lots
of cowboy ties.
There was a string tie.
Maybe the errant bow tie.
There were some big people, as you're going to get in every buffet. There were people that were big. And, you know,
professional leaders
who know that quantity does matter. You know, don't ever think quantity doesn't matter. Quantity does matter. There was one thing they did. They had the big beef ribs in the barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a... it was a bit of a labor to get the meat off of those ribs.
You know what?
Yeah.
If I just went with the tone of what you were saying.
Yeah, right.
If I was from a foreign land and didn't speak English, I could probably say that this man is describing the best sex that he ever had in your life. You should hear how you come to life.
A good buffet.
When you're talking about a good buffet.
A good all-you-can-eat buffet excites me because, you know, usually at an all-you-can-eat buffet, what are they doing? They're throwing out the cheapest stuff they can. They're trying to cut corners. They're trying, because it's all-you-can-eat, and they know that. So they're going to give you, you know, the fillers.
Filler.
They're going to give you the crap.
Not this place.
No, this place was giving you quality food. Not only did they have the big beef ribs, but you know what they did?
What?
In the same barbecue sauce, in the next, like, bucket over, they had the beef ribs cut off the meat in cubes like big, giant pieces of beef. and it was in there, so you could just reach in with one of their, thank you, Rob, with one of those oversized spoons and just take out about four chunks of this beef and then put it down, you know, on
your
plate.
Sounds delicious, Mike.
And the chicken, and the, fried and broiled.
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't, you know, for those of you dieters out there, you know, fried and broiled. The seafood, you know, the fried seafood, didn't have it myself because I can't eat that. My brother-in-law, not the best he's ever had.
Okay.
You know, frankly, he had some of those fried shrimp and, you know, perhaps too much time in the freezer.
What was the cost per person?
The total cost, and I'm not exaggerating.
Cost per person.
I can't do cost per person. I could, because the
sure you can divide by eight.
Well, no, I can't do that kind of math. You know that. Why would I be eating that place if I could do that kind of math? Let me see. My brother-in-law, sister-in-law, me, my wife, my daughter, my other daughter, and the two. So eight of us.
So I just said divide by eight.
Yeah. Eight of us. The total tab I think was $40. Okay. Now you tell me.
That's $5 a person.
You tell me. Well, yeah, because the two little ones ate for free. You know, the two little ones ate for free.
Yeah.
Kids eat free. And, you know, they don't need to throw that sign in the window that says kids eat free. They just tell you when you come in because they don't want to, you know. In the front is, you know, kind of a red, white, and blue motif as you're coming in, which my four-year-old likes. She said, Daddy, red, white, and blue. And I'm like, yes, it is. We're going to the great American Steakhouse. And I just want to tell you that I will return there. I would like if less people would be there, you know. But
not now. Now that you've given this ringing endorsement. As soon as Dukes of Hazzard is over today. Our doors are going to be jammed with folk.
Prime time too. 1 o'clock on a Sunday, kind of like everybody venturing out after, you know, after Sunday go to meeting. And it was in there, and it was very, very crowded. But and of course, you know, the obligatory little ice cream thing for the kids, you know, where they get the ice cream afterwards. It was, rarely do you have a quality experience like that, and I had it. And I like to
drive by one of these places one of these days, and it's going to be like the first time I saw one of those.
Right.
What's the other place you love?
Right. See, I can't say that I love it
that
now.
That you used to love.
I used to love, and I still would go into probably for a breakfast meal. I'd probably go. Well, there are two places I go to. You know, I go to Bob Evans with the kids.
Right.
You won't go hungry. You won't go broke. I go to the Old Country Buffet.
Okay, that place. I heard you talk about this place endlessly.
There's the Chinese place.
Well,
now,
I'm out on
Walk and Roll Buffet.
I'm out on 95.
That's true. It's the name of the place.
And I see the signs for this Old Country Buffet.
We just got Milwaukee's best custard, too.
And
hey, I'm sorry. It's, you know, yeah.
I
yeah,
did the Frida. That's the place that Mike always goes to.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove by. And we about bust a gut laughing looking at that place.
Well, hey, you know, it's good food, plenty of it, clean. That's it, clean.
And reasonable
prices. It's tough to keep a place like clean, you know, because people at the all-you-can-eat places, you know, it's spraying all over the place. You know, they're trying to get as much in there, and it's tough, and they pull it off. There's lots of steam, you know, coming out. When you see lots of steam in the buffet line, you know that stuff's going to be hot. That's what I like, too. Don't let the thingy, you know, the little propane or whatever they have underneath the plates, don't let that go out.
This has not been a paid announcement.
No, not at all.
This
no, I'm not getting it. I will
free
pay.
Testimony.
I wouldn't take a free meal if they offered it to. Well, that's not true. No, but I wouldn't. I think it's a good sauce. $40. Everybody, eight of us, all fed. You know?
Imagine that.
It was terrific. Then out to Toys R Us, you know, for a couple of walks up and down the aisles with the kids and home. What a day.
What a day.
Yeah, terrific weekend.
Weekend at Bernie's.
It's a fantastic. I'm a simple man. Doesn't take a lot to please me, you know.
I bet it'll be crowded after the next episode of 18 Wheels of Justice, starring G. Gordon Liddy on the National Network.
Well, after that trucker protest down in D.C., probably be crowded on the way home tonight, I would think, probably.
Okay.
Because right. Those truckers know good eating.
Oh, they do.
Yes, they do.
They do. Well, they finally said something positive about truckers.
Well, yeah, they do know the good places to eat, and you know, I that's about all.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Dawn and Mike.